Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you. 97.5 The Fanatic. Taking you into Flyers Bruins at 7 o'clock. Plenty of hockey action coming your way. Tim Saunders, Steve Coates will be on the call. I am here with you until then, and of course afterwards until midnight. Sam Flesher is producing this evening's programming. First, let's keep the lights on. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com. South Jersey's diamond destination. I don't need to make a big deal out of this, because there's plenty of other things to get to today. However, I have to say that the most striking thing that has occurred in the last 24 hours here is I'm taking a look as it relates to our teams. What in the world is Malcolm Jenkins doing? But to be fair, the Eagles being the record that they are at 3-4, Malcolm Jenkins is not the reason for that. I'm not trying to say that. Whatever your opinions are about whether Colin Kaepernick should have a job in this league or not, I'm not trying to talk you into it one way or the other. But really quickly, just want to examine the strategy here. What are you doing? If you're Bill Belichick and you're the New England Patriots and things like that, teams that have been dominating for a really long time, you have every incentive to, or at least the right, you have the right to assume that you're going to be dominant over whatever team that you happen to play. In fact, if you wanted to even talk a little trash, if you wanted to, you know, say, all right, these guys don't measure up to us and this, that, and the other category, all of that would actually make sense. You'd have the ability to do that. However, the Patriots don't do that. The Patriots are always talking up their opponents. They're talking about how good the defensive backs are, how strong the wide receivers are, how good the quarterback is. What I have issue with Malcolm Jenkins talking about Colin Kaepernick has nothing to do with Kaepernick himself. It is the blatant, on its face, disparaging of Blake Bortles. I am not a Blake Bortles defender by any stretch. But last I checked, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the same exact 3-4 as you. Exactly the same. Now, here's the question that I have. Where are the assurances that the Eagles traveling to London, playing against a Jacksonville team that, by the way, doesn't look nearly as good as they did at the beginning of the season? However, people think that this is hilarious or this is stupid. This is okay. We look at home Ben Roethlisberger and road Ben Roethlisberger, or home Drew Brees and road Drew Brees. People just like to play in certain areas, okay? You're playing against Blake Bortles in probably the place where he plays the best football of his entire life in London. Blake Bortles is 3-0 in three London games. The Jaguars are averaging 36 points per game. And, of course, he's got an 8-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I might not even disagree with the premise on its face that Malcolm Jenkins is saying that Blake Bortles is not an excellent starting quarterback. Can you say it literally any other week other than the week where you're playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which bulletin board material, Eagles played it all last season, the underdog mentality, nobody believes in us, blah, 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 all that other kind of stuff, right? And on top of that, you're playing them in London, which is the one place that it seems like Blake Bortles is a way better than average NFL quarterback. I get that the Jaguars have lost 3 in a row. They were 3-1. He got benched for Cody Kessler. Whatever. Okay, they're in London now. I believe in weird coincidences. I believe in weird stuff happening that way. I thought that was a terrible look. I thought that was a horrendous look. and I don't understand it. I'm not trying to say that it's symptomatic of some huge locker room rift or there's some kind of problem or whatever. I'm just saying that you pretty rarely hear this stuff coming out of healthy locker rooms where everyone's bought in and everybody thinks that they've got a chance to go to the Super Bowl and blah, blah, blah. At 3-4, things are getting weird. And by the way, Blake Bortles is not even hiding the fact that he hears everything and he's saying he couldn't care less about the critics and everything else, right? So you know that the Eagles now are going to be lumped into this. Oh, Joe, are you scared of the Jacksonville Jaguars? No, it's not the same as being scared. It's if you're walking by a bear, why would you poke the bear? Oh, Joe, Blake Bortles can't be a bear. Really? Look at what his numbers look like in London because he's a completely different cat. All right, I have reached my pinnacle. I have reached the total amount of Blake Bortles that this show will contain. That's as much as I can do. Okay, so coming up on the other side, I want to take your reaction to that, by the way, 610-632-0975. See if you agree that Malcolm Jenkins was out of line for saying something, the things that he did about Blake Bortles. But that'll be on you, not me. We're also going to talk about the state of your Philadelphia 76ers, a slower start than I think a lot of people would have expected. And, you know, it's a little bit early to do the state of the franchise, but at 2-3 and after a big loss last night, probably not the start that a lot of people expected nor wanted in order for this to be the big, step forward. And another player that, you know, comes in and takes a big step up. And last time it was Blake Griffin. Now it's Antetokounmpo coming in and doing the damage. The ability to stop stars. Man, it'd be nice if they could find somebody who'd be able to absolutely shut down the other team's star player. I wish those guys were available this offseason. 610-632-0975. Joe Torty Show continues. You can reach out to the show on Twitter at Joe Torty at 97.5 The Fanatic. Taking you up until Flyers hockey and then afterwards right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Simmons scores on the power play.
Flyers, Bruins, tonight at 7 on your home for Flyers hockey, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Big savings are going to rock the house. It's Gateway Kia's Rocktober Savings Spectacular. Get up to $6,000 overbooked for your trade, or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. Rock on in a new 2018 Kia Forte. Just $149 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero do it sign. Or get a new 2019 Kia Sportage. Just $199 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero do it sign. Come let us rock your world by getting up to $6,000 overbook value for your trade, or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. When you want to get big savings that rock, we'll see you at Gateway Kia, Route 611 in Warrington and Route 309 in Quakertown. Shop online at shopgatewaykia.com.
Gateway Kia, the discount Kia giant.
This is a 36-month zero security deposit, 10K miles per year lease, and tax title and DMV. Discount lease only. Trade gas value with credit approval expires 10/31/18.
Since we've had USAA, we've had two claims. We had an auto insurance claim and a homeowner's claim. The auto insurance claim, we were rear-ended, and my daughter was actually in the car when it happened. I called USAA. I downloaded the app, and from there on out, it was a very seamless process. They really understood, and they were actually concerned about my daughter's well-being and her safety.
From the moment he uploaded the photos to taking the damaged vehicle to the auto body and having a rental car there, USAA understands the day-to-day life. This is our home. These are our cars. This is where we pick up our kids from school. This is how we get to work.
I feel USAA is very committed to getting you back on your feet. We're the Bakers, and we're USAA members for life.
See how much you could save with USAA by bundling your auto and home insurance. Get a quote today.
Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Product membership eligibility and bundling savings restrictions apply and are subject to change. Members paid for their participation. United Services Automobile Association and its affiliate, San Antonio, Texas.
Addiction is a disease, not a lapse in judgment. Patients struggling with the disease of addiction are entitled to world-class care, provided with dignity and respect. Recover Centers of America, Devon, provides the highest quality inpatient and outpatient treatment for addiction and co-occurring mental health disorders. And it's available right here in the Philadelphia area. Their phone number is 1-800-RECOVERY. They believe that your family should be able to visit and participate in the treatment. So they built a facility in our neighborhood in Pennsylvania. And they are here to help you and your family. And they stand ready to help you with your addiction challenges. Their phone number, it's 1-800-RECOVERY. They offer specialized treatment programs for young adults, adults, and first responders, including law enforcement and military veterans. And they are in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield and other major insurance providers. Call Recovery Centers of America today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio.
Pay off credit card debt with a personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. When you have a family, life adds up. A new semester of school, a new season on the team, and new goalie pads to go with it. Now your youngest wants to learn an instrument. And of course, she didn't pick the harmonica. Debt happens. It's how you get out that counts. Get a personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Fixed interest rates and no fees, ever. Learn more at Marcus.com.
Question. Would you rather enjoy this bag of chips earned with the Exxon and Mobil Rewards Plus points you earn on every purchase? Or would you rather enjoy this yogurt I've been saving since high school? What? You'd prefer the chips instead of the decades-old dairy product? It's indisputable. People everywhere prefer earning and redeeming with Exxon and Mobil Rewards Plus. Sign up now and get 15 cents per gallon in points for 30 days at ExxonMobilRewardsPlus.com. Terms and conditions may apply. Available at participating Exxon and Mobil locations. You must fully enroll prior to January 31st, 2019 in order to participate.
Natalie Eganoff here to tell you about the only name you need to know when shopping for an engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, our own Andrew Salchunas recently got engaged. He took my advice and met with Angelo and the team at Family and Company, and they helped him pick out the perfect ring. Family and Company has been the most trusted jeweler in South Jersey for over 80 years. Go to familyjewelers.com or visit their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and see for yourself. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Across Jersey, Quick Draw is the lottery game turning players into winners.
What? I won! This is amazing! I gotta call Teresa.
Looks like we've got the This Changes Everything winner.
Hello?
Teresa? Hey, babe. I love you so much. Will you marry me?
Chris, am I on speakerphone?
No.
What kind of winner will you be? Play Quick Draw at any lottery retailer and try new Bullseye for bigger prizes and more chances to win. Because anything can happen in Jersey. Must be 18 or older to buy a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Come see why so many South Jersey and Philly buyers are coming to Turnersville for great deals on new Jeeps, Ram pickups, Dodges, and Chryslers at TurnersvilleJeep.com. That's TurnersvilleJeep.com.
Alexa in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Alexa in the kitchen.
Come in.
Alexa in the living room.
Excellent choice.
Alexa in the office.
Let's get started.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, taking you up until Flyers hockey. Yeah, Sixers basketball action, not overly optimistic to begin things, right? 123-108 to the Bucks. Greek Freak went crazy, except when Ben Simmons was guarding him, actually. Ben Simmons held him to 1 of 7 for 4 points. Other than that, he had 28 points against everybody else. So, hey, maybe all of those critiques and criticisms about Ben Simmons' ability to play defense might have been a little bit overblown. Let's get to the phones now, 610-632-0975, and lead things off with Dave in Somerton. Good evening, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, I called the other day about the Sixers and the concerns that I had.
Sure.
I really think that they're definitely regressing. I actually think it's going to be tough to get 50 wins.
Really? Why is that?
I had them at 53 or 54. Well, you have Fultz who, for whatever reason, we didn't take Tatum, and that's in the past, but he's just not NBA ready for some reason. I mean, I don't have the answers there. But, yeah, Fultz, Simmons, he was pretty good on the Greek Freak last night. But, JoJo with, going against Blake Griffin, going against the Greek Freak, even though he's not matched up all the time on them, they're getting a lot of points in the paint.
Yeah.
And he's our big man, and he's our franchise player. So there's concerns there, and I was concerned with Covington last year. And when I called the other day, they said, you didn't do too bad. Well, Covington wound up shooting 3 for 10, and, he really really was a non-factor. And, you know, he goes through a lot of cold streaks during a year.
Well, and hot streak. Like, that's the thing about him, right, is that he's just a streaky player. So his numbers are always going to look pretty good. But in order to get those really hot streak numbers, you almost have to decide if you're going to suffer through the cold streaks and things like that. And sometimes on a team that doesn't have a whole lot of offense, Dave, you wouldn't be outside of your rights to say that's a luxury that you're not willing to sign up for.
Yeah, and 50 wins, you know, I'm a homer. So, you know, it's just tough. It just doesn't look like – it looks like Brett Brown is going to – will really see what his true coaching's all about, meaning now he has some pieces. What does he do with them? I know it's early, but I think there's going to be more changes needed for that team to be a playoff contender.
Dave, you might be right. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. You know what? I actually was more, this is going to sound ridiculous, more pessimistic on the Sixers coming into the season. I had them as a 47-48 win team, which I didn't think was a huge, ridiculous step back. Really, it's going to depend on what the Sixers end up doing in the playoffs. And the question you have to ask yourself is that right now and moving forward, are they going to put the pieces in place to be able to play playoff basketball, which I think this team learned last year is kind of a different animal than it was or than the regular season was when the Sixers were kind of rounding into form and winning all those games in a row and everything else. When I look at it, though, the concerns that Dave lays up, especially about defending the paint and things like that, it's not a total excuse. I'm not willing to say that, oh, everything's going to be absolutely perfect. The Sixers have been in some bad spots this year in terms of rest and coming off back-to-backs and playing against better teams and everything else. But also, they are working with like the brand-new defensive system where Joel Embiid's kind of the rover on defense and being able to move around and do stuff, and other players are being asked to cover for him and, you know, allow him to kind of freelance. That's going to take some time. It's going to take more than five games worth of time to get all that together. With respect to Markelle Fultz, I am very much in the middle. I certainly am not, this guy can never play, like I've heard a lot on this station. And I think some of it is because Jason Tatum is thrown into such sharp relief that you see what Jason Tatum's doing, and then you see what Markelle Fultz is doing, and it makes it look absolutely worse. The other thing is, though, I am certainly not in the it's going to be fine crowd. I've heard that crowd a whole lot. I need to see, for example, if I want to say that a player is going to be fine, I need to see stretches, glimpses of good, great, or better every once in a while for me to be like, okay, this is going to be a fine situation. He doesn't need to be perfect. I think that coming off of the injury that he's coming off of and everything that he went through last year, and I didn't expect everything to just be perfect at the snap of a finger when you look at this year's Sixers season. However, I think the issue comes in when people were killing me when I said if he's healthy, he has to play in the playoffs as soon as you realize that you're not going to beat Boston anyway. You've got to work your way through some stuff. Rust or whatever, acclimation, whatever kind of euphemism you want to use, it's going to take some time no matter what. The Sixers, Markelle Fultz, everybody else, the whole process has necessitated that this happens now at the beginning of this regular season. And it's exactly what I thought it would look like, to be honest with you. It was something that I'm watching, and it's painful, and it's awkward, and he's playing 20 minutes a game, and he's supposed to be this key part of the team, and he's not starting second halves. And look, I knew that it was going to look like this. I warned you during the playoffs and during the end of the regular season that it was going to look like this. You got to shake off the rust at some point. The Sixers have chosen to do it right now. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
How's it going, Joe?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Just driving a long day home, so I'll try to stay in my lane, not get too excited.
Yeah, make sure you do that.
It would only blow up in my face. What would I tell my wife? I was on the phone with Joe when I hit somebody, but...
Oh, don't do that. Don't blame me. Don't bring me into this,
no,
Mitch.
No. It always goes back to the drive.
What's on your mind, man?
If you're not sure, you don't have the right of way.
That's right.
I'll be careful. I'll be smart. Two things with the Sixers and one thing with the Dodgers. I don't have...
the Sixers, they have to have the more, they have to have the more bad picks than good. And they, it's like a wheeling and dealing, trying like trying to hit the pick four. Fault on Powerball. Get him there. Like, let's see what he has. But I wish they get a trade. And that was a bad mistake with trading Bridges, who is playing for Phoenix now.
Yeah, especially now that the NBA, because Brett Brown talked about how the value of that pick was that that might be the first year that high schoolers are allowed in. And then the NBA nicely comes out and says that 2022 will be the absolute earliest that you'd consider anything like that. So that's like literally having a stock tank before your eyes, just watching it, just plummet. So that's great.
Then I told about incoming freshmen. What would you want to forego playing for a college like Duke or UCLA and play for like a minor league to get paid,
Well, I mean,
$50,000. I know it's not.
The cynics, Mitch, would, no, don't apologize. But the cynics, like Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted this out when he was, you know, reporting all this. He said, I don't know why you wouldn't go to a big time school because you're going to get paid anyway.
Oh, yeah, tenfold.
Yeah. You know, so.
Go ahead. No, I said it's the Sixers. They're going to do some wheel and deal for next year's draft. They don't think they can win this year. It doesn't look like it. They're Golden State. Like those two guys from Duke, especially Zion Williamson.
Williamson, yeah.
He looks like he played right now.
Yeah, he looks like he played left tackle right now, Mitch. Sorry, we got to move on. That dude is huge, Zion Williamson. I need to see what he does, by the way, because I think that I was the last person on the Williamson hype train. I'm like, oh, look at these dunks, look at these dunks. I'm like, that kid's in freshman year chemistry that he's dunking on right now, okay? I don't want to hear it. But if he starts to do that all over the ACC, then, you know, I reserve the right to change my mind with more information. I've never understood that. I've never understood the satisfaction that some people get from, well, let me rephrase that. I get the satisfaction for being first. I get the hipster element of it is like, oh, I liked it before I was cool. But, like, the people who were like, you can't like it or you can't recognize a fact now. Because you weren't on it at the beginning. I guess I don't understand that school of logic. Like, I was on the, just as a pure example, football fans might remember the safest draft prospect of all time, Aaron Curry, was a linebacker from Wake Forest and was one of the safest draft picks to ever become draft eligible. And I didn't think he was just safe. I thought he was a star. I watched him at Wake Forest. Should have been my first clue. Wake Forest football. Are you kidding me? But then he comes into the league and just spoiler alert, he's a linebackers coach somewhere now. So that is one where it's like, if I subscribe to that theory, then year three, by the time everybody was like, oh my gosh, maybe Aaron Curry can't play, I wouldn't be allowed on that train. I wouldn't be allowed on the, no, you can't say that he's a bust because you said he was good. And then those same people are like, just admit you were wrong. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands. But that's what it's like with Markelle Fultz. That's what it's like with, for example, there were people that said that the Sixers should have drafted Brandon Ingram. I argued that the Sixers should at least strongly consider Brandon Ingram and shouldn't consider Ben Simmons a slam dunk. That looks foolish now on a lot of levels because of how talented Ben Simmons is, how it looks like he's going to be one of the up-and-coming star players in the league for a long, long time. But the issues that the Sixers had then that logically led me to, hey, maybe they should look at somebody else, they still exist. People are like, oh, yeah, well, you can get a guy. You can just get a scoring wing. You can get it. They haven't. They've needed it since Ben Simmons got drafted, and they still haven't found that guy. Now, I'm not saying, oh, I was right, because, look, I think clearly you would take Ben Simmons over Brandon Ingram, right? Like, clearly, with the information that you have now. But the logic is still there. So when you're looking at it now, it's just find a guy. Now the Sixers are in that spot. Just go get a guy. Is it Landry Shamet? He's getting some looks. And by the way, I think that's a draft pick that is going to offset a lot of people's concerns regarding Markelle Fultz and Zaire Smith, whatever he ends up being after he returns from his injury or whatever. At least there was a player who comes in and can contribute right away in a role that the Sixers need. And I think that that's something that's undersold in a lot of ways. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with respect to the Sixers is where they are relative to your expectations. Like Dave said, he thinks it's hard for them to win 50 games now. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I thought it might have been difficult for them to begin with, but I did have them right around that range. It's not like I had them as a 41-win team that would be like scraping to get there. But based on what you've seen, does that change the way that you look at them? I mean, they've still got a lot of games, the Sixers do, against some bad teams. So, and they were only five games into their schedule. They started off by playing Boston, who's a really good team. You can begrudgingly admit, blew out the Bulls, bad team, beat the Magic. All right, bad team, but they still beat them. The Pistons game, it took 50 points from Blake Griffin and overtime and a ridiculous defensive lapse to lose. And then, of course, the Bucks game, you know, it's tough coming off back to back. Bucks were resting for a long time. Giannis is a good player. I'm not trying to make excuses for the team, but I'm saying even though you are what your record says you are, this doesn't necessarily reflect that the Sixers are a bad team, nor that they're going to play 2-3 basketball the rest of the way over the course of their schedule. I don't see that happening. I don't see it coming close to happening. I'm not saying that there's going to be get-right game after get-right game, but the schedule does lighten up a little bit from playing Boston and then coming back with Toronto and the Bucks. It's not always going to be playoff team after playoff team. And I know every team in the league has the same schedule, but not every team in the league is facing the kind of challenges that the Sixers are with respect to Markelle Fultz and bringing him along, breaking in a new defensive system and all that. I'm pumping the brakes. I'm not on the they'll be fine crowd, but I'm absolutely on the they're not dead yet crowd. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. Wide open phone lines. You can get in after Joey. Joey, you're going to be up first. Next, I want to give you your full time. It is the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven scores on the power play.
Flyers, Bruins, tonight at 7 on your home for Flyers hockey. 97.5 The Fanatic. This Bird's Midweek Report is brought to you by The Rothenberg Law Firm, InjuryLawyer.com.
The Birds dropped to 3-4 in the season after blowing a 17-0 lead to Carolina last Sunday. They allowed 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter and are now a game and a half back behind Washington for the division lead. They now have to travel to London to take on a struggling Jacksonville team who have now lost three straight games.
The Birds Midweek Report was brought to you by The Rothenberg Law Firm, InjuryLawyer.com.
When you're a winner, people expect a lot from you. That's true every time our team steps onto the field. We expect a win. That's also true when our lawyers fight for our clients. Philadelphians expect a lot from my firm, and they get it. I am Alan Rothenberg, the injury lawyer. For over 49 years, I've been fighting for and winning for injured people. My team has won billions for them. Let us win for you. The Rothenberg Law Firm. Call 1-800-624-8888 or go to injurylawyer.com.
Ram Power Days are here this fall. But the weather and leaves aren't all that are changing right now. More people are switching to Ram trucks than ever before. Like the all-new Ram 1500 with its available legendary Hemi engine. And Ram 3500 with best-in-class 30,000-pound fifth-wheel towing. With features like these, it's no wonder Ram trucks keep muscling their way past the competition. During Ram Power Days, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab 4x4 with a V6 engine for $189 a month for 36 months with $3,499 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. Since 2010, based on IHS Market U.S. household methodology and FCA segmentation of conquest data from U.S. new vehicle registrations for CYE 2010 to 2016, when properly equipped, class based on 350-3500 pickups. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution at least through U.S. Bank. Current lease must end by 11-4-19. 25-cent charge for each mile over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 10-31-18.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Lite on us.
Hey, I'm Clark. I work at the drugstore, and I hate my job. People are always asking me these annoying questions like, will this soap dry my skin out? Can you unlock the razor case? Will you please ring me up? I'm not like a soap-having ring-up keymaster wizard, okay? Just buy all your bathroom stuff at DollarShaveClub.com. They'll deliver all your bathroom stuff so you don't have to come to my store and bother me when I'm trying to text my girlfriend's friend.
Right now, get our three most popular grooming products and our best razor for just $5. Only at DollarShaveClub.com/radio. That's DollarShaveClub.com/radio.
These days, it's hard to get anyone to look up from their phone. From texting to posting to playing games, it's become our national obsession. Me? I still can't get enough of those angry birds. But when it comes to buying an engagement ring, that smartphone of yours is more like a dumb phone. Because a device is no substitute for advice. And nobody gives better engagement ring advice than Benari Jewelers. We're diamond experts, real live human beings who are trained to listen first, ask questions, and guide you to the perfect ring. There's no app for that, my friends. Benari Jewelers' quality is unsurpassed, with an amazing selection in every price range. And unlike the internet, we let you see and touch the rings before you buy them. So use that smartphone of yours to map directions to Benari Jewelers in Exton and Newtown Square. Or if you're not quite ready to talk, visit BenariJewelers.com.
Welcome to the revolution. A global movement to transform the human body into a disease-fighting machine. Our immune systems fortified. Our immune cells retrained to hunt down and destroy deadly diseases. And today at Penn Medicine, we have dozens of new therapies in hundreds of clinical trials. All dedicated to the day when the body can shake Parkinson's, when Alzheimer's is a memory, when millions of people destroy cancer each year, instead of the other way around. This is no mere battle. This is not even medicine as we know it. This is a revolution. Long live the immuno revolution. Now rising at Penn Medicine. Learn more at immunorevolution.org.
Your comments, your opinions in a city that lives and breathes sports. Your voice matters because you care. Get on the line now at 610-632-0975. Presented by Concordville Nissan, because Concordville cares. Online at ConcordvilleCares.com. Philadelphia's football station. 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, this Jimmy Butler thing is getting out of control as well. Okay. 610-632-0975. The reports are now that the trade haul for Jimmy Butler, the offer, not the ask, not what Minnesota's like, hey, give us this. The offer for Jimmy Butler is now four first round picks. Four. Joe, how is that possible? Because you can't trade consecutive first-round picks. I'm so glad that you asked. You can trade up to 7 years in the future. So some sleuthing suggests that they'd be trading 2019, 2021, 2023, and 2025. You tell me if in 2025, Jimmy Butler's an impact player in the NBA. You tell me in 2023, is Jimmy Butler an impact player in the NBA? What is happening? You must really, really think that you're going to take down the Warriors. Whew. So with four first-round picks, are you still in the Jimmy Butler business if you're the Philadelphia 76ers? That seems irresponsible to me to be in the sweepstakes for four first-round picks. Let's go to Joey in South Philly. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
How you doing?
Yeah, this Jimmy Butler offer to me sounds like someone who's getting a terrible interest rate on a or on a car finance.
It's like predatory. You're right.
Yeah, you know, 7 years down the road, you have a terrible interest rate, and you're still paying off a car that you no longer want,
and you owe more than you paid for the car.
Yeah, right.
That's what it is.
Wait, can I get a shot at the team who's offering this? Because did you mention it?
The Houston Rockets. You want to get into that business? Whatever they want.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, well, the Houston Rockets. Well, yeah, I guess they figured with Jimmy Butler they could win now, but I still say no go. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's if you're Minnesota, Joey, how do you realistically be like, nah, that's okay, we'll keep Jimmy? Like, when that's the offer.
You gotta get rid of him.
That's out of control.
Gotta send him out on a plane to Houston tonight.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, so I want to just touch on the Sixers.
Yes.
So, you know, I watched the game last night against Milwaukee, and to me, this is a team right now, within, you know, the first five games of the season, they're just learning how to gel right now together. I feel like the biggest problem we have is Robert Covington playing 28 minutes because he's contributing next to nothing on offense and defense, and I would reduce his minutes and give them to Muscala because at least you're giving us another sharpshooter on the perimeter to put points up.
Right. So now the other thing is, and I brought this up with an earlier caller, Joey, the thing about Robert Covington is that you have to decide whether you're willing to give those minutes in order to find the hot streaks that he does have every once in a while, or just say, hey, you know, it's not worth it. It's too much. And, you know, the turnovers or the lack of defense on the ball or the cold streaks or whatever, that all offsets, you know, the potential benefit from the hot streak. So I get where you're coming from. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I would reduce the minutes because, you know, it's not like, you know, he's playing 29 minutes and giving us 8 points, but he's not even producing on defense. I'd reduce his minutes, let Muscala get more minutes, because, he's going to drop threes for us, and then you have JJ, Embiid, Ben Simmons, they're doing their thing, and Dario.
Yep.
So I say the first step is Robert Covington loses play time.
Well, that might be it. Joey, thanks for the phone call. However, I'll say this too. Dario Saric has not had a great start to the season. And I know that he always kind of starts slow, but he hasn't been outrageous this year. When it comes to Robert Covington too, I think that in order to analyze him properly, because there are, don't get me wrong, there's always going to be people that are like, if you say anything bad about Robert Covington, you're an idiot. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I think that as an on-the-ball defender, he's overrated. So I think that defensively, I think that people talk about Robert Covington being a plus defender. I think he is. He is a well above average passing lane patroller. I think that he's a good anticipatory guy, things like that. I'm not sure that he is an elite-level on-ball defender. He's aggressive. He pokes at the ball. He tries to get into passing lanes. He's second in the NBA or so in deflections per game. He's not a guy who is in-your-face, locked-down, you versus me, I'm going to go Bruce Bowen, Rajah Bell, and absolutely shut you down. I think that a player like that would help. And I think that Robert Covington can do some other stuff well that helps you. But look, I mean, when you go 3 of 10 and 1 of 5 from 3 against the Bucks, you're going to set yourself up for, you know, some issues. And by the way, his minutes have been throttled back. He had 39 against the Magic, 44 against the Pistons, 29 against the Bucks. They're starting to throttle down his minutes a little bit. It's just, you wonder who the scorers are outside of Redick and Embiid and Simmons. Like, that is the million-dollar question when it comes to the Sixers. And that's why conversations like, should the Sixers trade for Jimmy Butler? I don't know if those conversations are going to continue with four first-round picks now being on the table. But that's why those conversations continue to permeate. Let's go to Mark in Mount Airy next. Mark, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
I mean, I must be the only person that's still optimistic on the Sixers and left in the city, man. I see Mike Muscala moving his feet and playing good defense. I see, you know, Embiid taking the next step. I see Ben Simmons doing what he did if he didn't get better. And, yeah, Markelle Fultz looks lackadaisical out there.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because he wants more minutes. He wants to know that he has more minutes, and he's kind of pouting because it looks childish if you look at it. But he is taking the shots, and he is making some of them, and he does show the handle to get to the rim when he makes his mind up to go to it. So
he looks completely different when he's playing on ball, doesn't he? When he's the point guard versus being asked to play the off guard. I don't know if he likes it. I don't think that he likes playing second fiddle to Ben Simmons.
It looks like he's pouting like a little kid who's not getting his way. So, I mean, they're handling him with kid gloves for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It's like they see that he's not a professional yet. So,
I think
when Wilson Chandler gets back, we'll be all right. He's the on-the-ball defender, three-point. He's a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
And with him and the Scala is better than advertised on defense, at least I look in the last two games. So, I mean, we'll have 8 deep when he gets back. You know, our bench will be 8 deep, and whatever we get from Fultz and Shamet is a bonus.
I think that's a good way to look at it, Mark. Thanks for the phone call. You know what? That's something that I think the Sixers are doomed crowd overlooks is that, you know, the rotation's not complete yet. You got Wilson Chandler, who you came in. Chandler was arguably your biggest offseason name that you brought in. Muscala can be a useful player, 100%. Markel Fultz is averaging almost 9 points per game. You'd like to see that average get up higher, but he's only averaging 25 minutes a game. He probably does want more minutes. I would understand that completely. I mean, how would you not? You're the number one pick and everything else. This all comes back to, though, my point about if he was healthy and he was potentially ready to go for last year down the stretch, this idea of giving him the summer off and having this coming out party, this is the exact thing that I mentioned that I feared, is that if he doesn't come out and immediately start blowing it up, then we're going to start having these conversations about whether we can actually trust the guy. Is he a bust? You know, why is it taking so long for this guy to come together? Blah, blah, blah. And I think that it's a tough spot to put a 20-year-old in. I really do. Let's go to Josh in Pensauken. Josh, you're on the Joe Torti Show. Josh is not there. Let's go to Vinny in West Philly. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Joe. What's going on with you today?
Not too much, man. How are you?
Hey, listen. This is the thing I see with the Sixers, right? Same thing we've seen when they left the Boston series the last time with the defense. Robert Covington, no, definitely is not an on-ball defender. The other opponents, I mean, you watch back. They seek him out. Bledsoe was intensely seeking him out the whole game. Like, Milton was seeking him out. Like, let's just be honest with what we got here. Dario was a horrible on-ball defender. No athleticism, right?
Right.
You know, this team as constructed right now will not be contending playoff. Like you just said, you gave him an excuse. Well, you didn't give him an excuse. You said they're not going to be playing all playoff teams every day. No, they're not. But they're not going to get to no top seed without beating playoff teams.
Sure.
And I wouldn't bet. They can't guard. They can't guard the guard position. They're going in the mark. Every elite guard in the NBA going to torch them. Every one of them.
Well, so you don't think that they have any, like, for example, I think Ben Simmons has done a nice job when he's been switched on to guards.
Not really.
So?
I want you to watch Ben Simmons more closely. No, I know so. I'm looking at him yesterday. He was getting beat off the dribble. It was a play that one of the guards came right to him. He poked fake like he was going to block it. And just stood there. That's not good defense.
Well, I hear you. I do. I'm not cutting you short. We just got a lot of people on, and I want to get you on before the Flyers game. I hear he's not perfect. And like I said, the Sixers are an unconventional team. They've got to find a way to make it work. They have a weird backcourt. They're made up of a bunch of players that don't fit traditional, whatever that means, basketball roles. You got a center who likes to step outside and shoot the three. You've got a 6'10" point guard who likes to run the floor. I mean, you got a lot. I'm not saying that it's perfect. Believe me, I'm not. I'm saying that 5 games in is too early for me to be like, this whole thing doesn't work. Let's go to Stan in Broomall. Hey, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, man? I completely agree. 5 games is not for me to sit there and wave the flag. I feel like if the Sixers win that Detroit game and the Sixers win this the game last night, I feel like it's too much of a swing. It'd be one thing if you can just point out the problems regardless win-loss. But I feel like if they win these games, everybody's talking about us being, 4-1 or something like that?
Right.
So I'm not really too pressed about it. Okay, 2-3. All right, you know, you wish you'd be better. But then you look at the Celtics, they're 2-2. You know, obviously we're in a different conference, but the Lakers are 1-3. I'm not really too pressed about things like this right now. The things that are pressing to me is watching coaching. And I'm watching Brett Brown, and I feel like there's some mistakes he made. Same thing with Doug Peterson last Sunday. I feel like he made a couple of mistakes more so in the Detroit game, where instead of giving it to Embiid down the stretch against Zaza, you go and try to get a three-point shot from J.J. Redick and
yep.
blah, 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 not playing Markel enough. So there's a lot of little things that were annoying me. But as a whole, I think that one caller touched on Wilson Chandler coming back will be good. Muscala looks like he can actually move his feet, and he's going to be a good addition. And I don't know what that last call was talking about. Ben Simmons on ball defense, if you look at the numbers, has been really
pretty good.
The first five games have been really good.
Yeah, I thought so too, Stan. Thanks for the phone call, man. I thought so too. I think that even when defending guards, Simmons has been good. To the people on the line right now, I'm sorry, we have a Flyers pregame that's coming up, and I got to get out. But feel free to call right after the game. We'll be talking Sixers. We'll be talking Eagles. Thank you very much to Sam Fleischer for producing. Here comes Flyers hockey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic with them.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What is going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic, tough loss for those Philadelphia Flyers, dropping it to the Boston Bruins. And you know what? That has just run into hot goalies sometimes. One of those games where it just didn't look like the Flyers had enough jump, weren't able to get any high-quality grade-A scoring chances, or certainly not enough of them over the course of the game, and you fall to the Bruins 3-0. Flyers drop to 4-6-0 on the season. I am Joe Torti. Sam Fleischer is producing. We're taking you until midnight this evening, so plenty of stuff to get into. Before the Flyers game started, we had gotten into some of the Eagles, we had gotten into some of the Sixers, and we're going to continue to head down that road. As you know, with the Eagles game coming up, I feel like there's a sense of panic in the air, and I fear that that's bleeding over to the Sixers, maybe unnecessarily, because of the number of games that the Sixers have played, right? It's not the same thing to look at the Sixers and be five games into a season and be like, this is a squad that's in deep trouble, right? This is a team that you know, because you think about the other teams in the Eastern Conference, right? For example, the Boston Celtics are a perfect example of teams that have struggled to begin the season. Right, you never have, concern. Yeah, the Raptors are doing what they're doing. They're 5-0. Bucks are doing well as well. But I mean, you look at the Celtics at 2-2. Sixers are 2-3. You move across to the Western Conference. Right, the Lakers aren't lighting the world on fire. They're 1-3. The Rockets are 1-3. Good teams don't always have the dominating records at the beginning of the season. And you've heard all of the stupid cliches, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and all that other kind of stuff. And to a large degree, that's true. But when it comes down to it, I think that with this particular group, you've seen a couple of bad spots. You've seen a couple of areas where you're put in positions to fail, whether it's playing against really strong teams early or coming off the second half back-to-backs while the other team's been rested. There's been a whole lot of stuff in that realm where you look at it and say, all right, well, maybe things aren't nearly as disastrous as perhaps we thought they were for the Philadelphia 76ers. Or really for the Flyers, for that matter. You know, dropping to 4-6 on the season doesn't necessarily, it's not a death sentence for this group. For example, if you look at the Metropolitan Division standings, it's not the prettiest thing that you've ever seen for the Flyers, right? There have been hot starts for the Penguins and Hurricanes and the Capitals. Don't get me wrong. When you're looking at the entire thing and you're looking up at five teams, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. But still, you're only 10 games in. It's not the worst. There's plenty of time to make it up. Even games in hand be damned and everything else. Those are two circumstances where I think it's too early to panic. With the Eagles, Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that it's too early to panic with the Eagles anymore at this point. I know that people have these grand visions of them sweeping through the division and getting in and winning at 10-6, 9-7. I think that would be a gargantuan undertaking. So I'm not positive that that's really realistic. Is there panic, and I'm not saying it's because of the Eagles, but is there a lot of concern bleeding in for you with the Sixers and with the Flyers? Are you feeling concerned, you know, in some part or even no part at all due to what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles? Because I think that from a mindset perspective, it's easy to fall into that trap, right? Positively and negatively. There were people that argued when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we put the impetus on the baseball team and the basketball team and the hockey team to kind of follow suit and field incredibly competitive products, even when before we maybe didn't even think that that would be possible. There are all kinds of examples that way. For like looking at the Sixers and the process. Well, once people bought into the process and the idea of tanking for draft picks and trying to build your team that way, a lot of people said, all right, well, all of the teams should do this. So that's the only reason that I bring up this idea of a collective, this idea that because panic is, in my opinion, rightfully setting in with the Eagles, that's why people were looking and saying, oh, this Markelle Fultz thing isn't going to work, and this is a big problem, and that's a big problem, and you're not going to be able to get the Flyers right, and all is lost. I don't think all is lost. It might be for the Eagles. There's still a lot of season left, but you're well in panic territory right now. But with the Sixers and the Flyers, I would argue less. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. We're going to get to all your phone calls. I'm looking forward to talking to you tonight. So let's get it started right on the phones with Drew in Pennsburg. Drew, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Good. Just want to talk about the three teams in season.
Okay.
And the ones I'm most concerned with. Not so much Sixers, because, you know, I had a feeling, you know, it would take them 10, 15, 20 games to get in a rhythm. And Embiid's a walking, you know, at least 25, 14 guy a game. Ben's a walking triple-double a game.
Sure, it's yep.
I know we need that third star, but I'm not concerned because the East is that
it's
not
wide
that
open
good.
Right
I don't want to say
yeah.
that bad.
No, yeah, of course. It's certainly not as competitive as the Western Conference.
Exactly.
Yep.
The Flyers I'll touch on next. I'm concerned because what has this coach or GM, like, I know they've been preaching patience, which the approach that I agree with that needed to be done. But, you know, what has this coach done and GM besides bringing JVR, who's hurt, which obviously isn't Hextall's fault. But some of the other signings of Hextall have been brutal. The defense this year, I mean, they left 40 goals so far in, what is it, 7-8 games they played?
And first period goals are also a big-time problem, so you're chasing the entire game.
Yeah, and then I'll end on the Eagles here.
Yep.
Major panic for me. Sunday morning is a must-win because we lose Sunday morning. We have to sit and watch Washington play three games before we step on the field against Dallas.
Could
theoretically be four games behind Washington if we lose Sunday, and they win three winnable games that they have. So panic mode, yes, for the Eagles. Must win Sunday. Keep up the good work. I enjoy the show.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate that, man. That's good stuff right there. Sixers, he's right. I would say that you do need a third star. You haven't seen what the Sixers are fully assembled yet with Wilson Chandler. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's a star. I'm saying that you need somebody to do stuff that Wilson Chandler can do. So I think that that's going to be something that's at least manageable for the team. You pointed out the JVR signing, which, I mean, we can't just breeze past that. I know that he's injured and I know that he's not contributing to the team right now. I 100% understand that. However, that is a top-flight free agent acquisition. A guy who was the leading goal scorer on the market, had a ton of goals in very limited usage. And lo and behold, what does the team really need? scoring. So, I mean, I think that in terms of critiquing not just the coach, but especially the GM, I'm not going to say it's premature because Ron Hextall's had a lot of time, and I think that you probably have made your mind up on Ron Hextall either way, whether you're pro or con. I don't know if there's anything that he's going to do that's going to pull you out of your respective camp, but we can't just breeze past the Van Riemsdyk injury like it's nothing, because that is a huge thing from a coaching standpoint and from a GM standpoint. The biggest reason that it looked like the Flyers were going to take another step and really push and challenge for the Metropolitan Division. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. I wasn't aware of that with the scheduling with Washington. But now that I am, and I'm trying to take a look at it and see the way that it... That would be brutal for the Eagles. If for some reason, right... And this is what I talked about before the Flyers game. If for some reason you were to fire Blake Bortles up by, I don't know, trash-talking him ahead of the game, and you were to lose to Blake Bortles in London, I don't know. That's not true. I have experienced rock bottom, okay? I experienced rock bottom with Andy Reid's last season, and also when everybody knew that you had been hoodwinked by Chip Kelly. And you realize that season was spiraling out of control, that, yeah, this is not going to get better. And that was before, you know, we thought that Jeffrey Lurie, who had been incredibly patient with coaches in the past, was going to make any kind of move. So let's see. We've got Washington obviously playing the Falcons at 1. Then 11-11, which I also think, yep, it's another Sunday. Wow. Yeah, I guess so. So you could see Washington playing some significant games and trying to put some distance between themselves and the Eagles. Look, I'm not all that worried about what anybody else is doing. Like, people talk about the division and how wide open it is or whatever. I look at what the team is, and that's why I'm like, this doesn't play like a playoff team should. Like, I'm watching the Eagles, and I'm seeing things that you would have never seen last year. I actually am more focused on them getting their play up to a playoff caliber before I'm looking and saying, who are the other teams playing? But Washington already with an advantage. A loss on Sunday would be absolutely brutal to the Eagles' playoff chances. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Wide open phone lines, so you can grab those while you can. You can also catch up with the show on Twitter at Joe Torty at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Hey, Chris.
You know, Joe, I've never wanted to be a pessimist in my life when it comes to my Birds. But
sure.
You know what? Even before they took the field for the preseason, it was all these injuries that came out that this guy's hurt, that guy's hurt. You know, in my worst of worst case scenarios, they were a one-hit wonder. The Super Bowl was a one-hit wonder. And now we see from the first, you know, seven games now that when you don't have your top flight guys out there, just how hard it is to pull games out. And where you have freak occurrences like Sunday, last Sunday happening, where Carolina just scores 21 points straight in the fourth quarter and you don't even have nothing to say about it. Like, you know, it's times like that where I say, man, you know, this is not looking good. To where I just kind of fade out on Eagles. I'm going to be blatantly honest with you. Now, where the Flyers and the Sixers, you know, they're not any better in a certain respect, but you have those, and I said this to you before, how you had those games during the week where you have your highs and your lows to where, like, and I didn't expect Detroit and Milwaukee to be losses by any means. I thought those were actually going into those going to be wins that they should have pulled out. And I mean, you lose by one and then you lose by 10 to 20 plus points, you know, like that's when it all culminates and you have what you have tonight with your topic where you're talking about like all four teams, just how bad it is, where the expectations were here and we're so far below our expectations that it's almost disheartening to watch our sports teams anymore. So I still go back to the fact that seeing the Flyers and the Sixers during a week takes away that pain and numbness of that we take as Eagles fans too. So
sure.
I think that plays a big role in how we, you know, go about our week as still a Philly sports.
Well, let me ask you this, Chris, because you bring up a really interesting point. I think that at various times, our expectations for each of the four teams has been very high. So I guess a natural question to ask is, like, where does that come from with every team besides the Eagles, who just happened to win the Super Bowl last year?
I think it actually comes from our sports teams trying to hype us up, that, you know, and sell us a bag of goods. I mean, it's always, that's how it works. And when you're right, you're right. But when you're wrong, man, people will kill you for being wrong, because you set the bar just as high as we did, if not higher. And when it's backlash in your face, you had to come out to your fans and say, oh, we're sorry, we messed up. We didn't expect this to happen and all these people to get injured and the Sixers to lose two games straight and Flyers to lose JVR, like, and the Phillies to fall off the way they did in the second half of the season. Like, that was supposed to be a playoff contending baseball team, and that fell off. Like, they set the bar way too high, just like us. And when it blows up, they have to account, and they don't like that, Joe.
Yeah, I understand. Chris, thanks for the phone call. It's pretty rare that you see teams come out and say that, right? It has to get very, very bad for them to come out and be like, the on-field product or on-ice product or whatever has been unacceptable, and these are the change. We're making X, Y, and Z changes as a result. Like, that's incredibly rare that that happens. But, you know, I was thinking about, in particular, in order, expectations. Eagles, highest expectations. Sixers, second highest expectations. Flyers, third highest expectations. And Phillies, fourth. But at various times over the season, right? Like, for example, I remember after that series with Boston and the Phillies were in good shape, it was like, hey, everyone, pay attention. The Phillies just made it through the bear of their schedule. And if they manage to play competent baseball down the stretch, this is absolutely going to end up being a playoff team, maybe a division winner. And competent baseball is not what we got. It was a full-on bottoming out, a Buick going over a speed bump at 40 miles an hour. There were sparks all over the place on the bottom. Like, that's what it looked like. Flyers, I'm not willing to pull the ripcord yet, but I've heard hockey minds on this station and elsewhere talking about the Flyers potentially being the second team in the Metropolitan Division, which I thought was ridiculous. But there are still some people out there who know the game who are saying this is a very talented team. It's got a lot of pieces that they can bring to bear and take a step forward and pull everything together. That hasn't happened yet, but there's still time. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. I'll be right back with more. It's the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic invites you to hang with us for kegs and eggs at the Fanatic London pregame show at Sugar House Casino starting at 7 a.m.
Yeah, baby!
Join former Eagle Jason Avant, Devon Gibbons, and Bob Cooney. Then stay for the official Fanatic watch party with Natalie and Andrew. This week's big prize is a VIP experience, including a chauffeured evening and a Rolls Royce, dinner for two, and tickets to a Sixers game courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Car Rentals.
Must be present to win. Drawing at the end of halftime.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Watch the game on Fishtown Hop's huge 10x10 big screen. Dollar Dogs, $2 Miller Lite drafts, and $12 Miller Lite buckets.
Presented by Sugar House Casino. Philly loves a winner.
Supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances. This is Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Are you ready to get in, get out, and get paid flipping houses in the Philadelphia area? If so, here's an amazing opportunity for you. The NV Real Estate Academy has created a three-step paper flip strategy that allows you to write an offer, sell the offer, and get paid. With this strategy, you'll learn how to flip a house without swinging a hammer or using any of your own cash or credit. Now, for a limited time, the NV Real Estate Academy would like to share this strategy with you for free. Call 1-800-614-2029 right now to get your free Hidden Treasures and Wholesale Properties kit and find out how you can get paid writing offers. Call 800-614-2029 now. And NV Real Estate Academy will also give you four free tickets to a training workshop, which also includes a free smartwatch and Nick Vertucci's new book, Seven Figure Decisions. All these gifts are free just for attending, plus an opportunity to network with like-minded investors. Call 800-614-2029. That's 800-614-2029 to get your free wholesale kit. Call now. This 15 minutes of fame is brought to you by Geico. Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Philly, let's be
honest. We just don't recognize enough people for doing great work in their community, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, or even a stranger. Going that extra mile for those in need can be life-changing. GEICO wants to thank you and celebrate your good deeds by honoring you with 15 minutes of fame. Just send an email to geico@bbgi.com to submit your nomination. That's geico@bbgi.com. Each month, GEICO and 97.5 The Fanatic will choose one person and honor them on air.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today to see how much you could save.
Big savings are gonna rock the house. It's Gateway Kia's Rocktober Savings Spectacular. Get up to $6,000 overbooked for your trade, or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. Rock on in a new 2018 Kia Forte. Just $149 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero do it sign. Or get a new 2019 Kia Sportage. Just $199 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero do it sign. Come let us rock your world by getting up to $6,000 overbooked value for your trade. Or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. When you want to get big savings and rock, we'll see you at Gateway Kia, Route 611 in Warrington and Route 309 in Quakertown. Shop online at shopgatewaykia.com.
Gateway Kia, the discount Kia giant.
Leases of 36 months, zero security deposit, 10K miles per year lease, and tax, title, and DMV. Discount lease only. Trade, gas value, and credit improvements. Expires 10/31/18.
This is Pat Callahan inviting you to join Joe Torti and me for season 17 of This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Joe and I will dig into the biggest NFL topics, preview the week's slate of games, and debate the gridiron issues that matter to you. Of course, each week we'll focus on the defending champs and check out the Birds matchup, including key injuries, personnel matchups, and keep tabs on the most watched quarterback non-rivalry ever. Sal Palantonio returns at 11 a.m. each week with his unique and insightful take on the champs and the Shield, including the weekly top five. Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com checks in every Saturday with most of your fantasy answers. It's me versus Joey Bags in the dreaded pick segment. And we will look back at past Eagle and NFL greats and ask, where are they now? So be sure to join Joe Torti and me for some old school football talk every Saturday at 10 a.m. on your definitive source for all things Birds and NFL. It's This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Light on us.
My seafood restaurant has a giant walk-in freezer. We call her Big Frosty. I don't know how many years she's got left in her or how much each ice cube is costing me, but I do know that she keeps the fish cold.
You don't have to be an expert, because Pico has lots of ways to help your business save energy and money, like high-efficiency equipment incentives to replace Big Frosty. Visit pico.com/smartideas. Pico, the future is on.
For over nine decades, Craftsman tools have been found in toolboxes and garages across the country. After all these years, they finally found their way home to your local Lowe's. Trusted in the hands of everyone from the home improvement weekend warrior to the pro who needs tools they can rely on day in and day out, you can be sure you can trust them in your hands too. So whatever tool your job demands, we have just the tool for it. Find it at Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
Rich Eisen here. The family's packed away in your new Honda Odyssey heading to Grandma's. Then your kids start fighting in the back. Thankfully, available Magic Slide seats let you easily separate them when they get out of hand. Through a camera, the available Cabin Watch lets you keep tabs on them from the driver's seat. Or if they're watching a movie on the available Advanced Rear Entertainment System, available Cabin Talk mutes it, letting you talk directly through their headphones. With a Honda Odyssey, there's plenty of ways to keep the peace. Available now at your local Honda dealer.
Hey, little man. Man, I promise I'm gonna stop smoking because I don't want to miss a single moment of your life. I found a great place to help. Poppy's Vapor Lounge. Poppy's owner quit smoking when his grandpa introduced him to vaping. That's why he named his stores Poppy's. to honor his grandfather and help people quit smoking with the lowest prices and best selection on vaping supplies.
Poppy's Vapor Lounge in Marlton and Turnersville. Use promo code SIMPLE for 10% off at poppiesvapor.com.
Tax and tax additional. All offers on select models with approved credit. 27-month leases. $36.95 due at signing. Offer includes 1,500 GM competitive lease rebate if qualified. 40% off used 2018 Buick LaCrosse. Qualifications exist. Offers expire 10/31/18. Call 1-800-KERBECK for full details.
It's FC Kerbeck Buick GMC's leftover model year closeout. Save up to 40% off original MSRP. Just $97 down or $97 a month. Lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or 2019 Buick Encore. Plus, stop in through month end and enter for our vintage 1977 MG convertible. No purchase necessary. Yes, lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or Buick Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month. FC Kerbeck has 250 GMCs and Buicks to choose. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Your choice. Lease new 2019 Terrain or Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month at FC Kerbeck. Online at FCKerbeckBuickGMC.com.
Come join us.
Let's go! For Zeta and Trey in the morning. Listen. Listen. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Just casually flipping through the NHL scoreboard. Joe Torti show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Sam Flesher's producing. Because the Flyers got shut out 3-0 tonight, so I'm looking and seeing maybe some good news. The Penguins are beating the Flames 5-0 in the second period. Okay. All right. Must be nice to have goal scoring on a routine, regular basis. Karate Mark tweets in, and you can join in with the show at Joe Torti and at 97.5, The Fanatic. What up, Joe Torti? I want D-Jack, Shady, Pat P, and another D-lineman. But seriously, how many players do we need to patch up this season? One or two players won't do it. Is it worth mortgaging for the rest of this literally below-average season? What say you? And here we come to the crux of things when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles versus some of these other teams, right? You have to independently evaluate trades, right? And obviously, circumstances change, players change, and things like that. However, as a general rule, any player of value will cost you something, which is to say it won't cost nothing. There are some like players that you give away for conditional picks or whatever that's not value. That, you know, usually those trades often amount to nothing. If you trade a player away for a conditional pick, oftentimes the player doesn't make the team, therefore you don't get the pick. It's literally like nothing happened. However, when you look at the Eagles, I would argue that they have enough substantial needs at enough positions that it is difficult because of the supply of the players, because of the cost of the players, whatever it is. My position tends to be, unfortunately, that the Eagles have enough needs that it doesn't make sense to trade away an entire draft's worth of picks in order to shore up the needs, because I find this team this year to be inherently flawed. It's not to say that I think the window's closed. It's not to say that there aren't pieces here. I would say, and you know, if you disagree, I would love to hear from you, because I'd love to hear what the argument is. I would say that at this point, despite winning a Super Bowl last year, the Eagles are missing key pieces from a championship core. And therefore, they probably do not have a Super Bowl core of the team this year where you could have a tweak here and a tweak there and you'd be all set and ready to explode onto the scene. I'm sorry. I am looking at some teams out there, and I know that not everybody does. It's fine. Trust me. I'm watching the Rams. I'm watching the Chiefs. And I'm watching teams that the Eagles aren't in their weight class right now. They would have been last year. For whatever reason, the way that the Eagles were playing last year, and not, this is the toughest part to, you know, kind of wrap our minds around, right? Is that the players, like on paper, are probably better than last year's team. Like, it's, you look at the additions made to the defensive line, you look at the losses. LeGarrette Blount does make a difference. I will grant you that. There's no question he makes a difference. However, overall, net, I would say, is positive. And then come the injuries, right? Mike Wallace gets hurt. Mac Hollins gets hurt. Jay Ajayi gets hurt over and over. You just keep going down the list. And a team that was prepared and ready to go last year to step up and replace those guys just finds themselves in a completely different position this year. I'll be completely honest with you. If I thought the Eagles had one deficiency, whether it was running back, wide receiver, offensive line, defensive line, whatever, secondary, if I thought they had one player, they were one player away, I've always argued that there's no such thing, if you're a good football team, as a draft pick price that's too high, because what do you care? You're not in the drafting business at that point. You're in the championship winning business. And if you're that good, turn your second and third and fourth round picks into starters down the road. However, I think it would take too much to shore up and plug all the holes. It's like the Looney Tunes cartoon, where, you know, there's water coming through the dam and there's one hole and then you plug it with a finger and then two more pop out and you're using toes and ears and everything like that. Eventually, it's just the whole thing's going to come in. That's where the Eagles are right now. It pains me to say, too, but the offense has completely fallen off a cliff from last year. The defense is, I would argue, unrecognizable from last year. And I don't think that they're playing badly, the defense, but it was such a dominant performance a season ago that I don't think you'd ever confuse this year's defense with last year's defense. So actually, as painful as it might be, I think that you just weather the storm now and reload and then figure it out, you know, how you're going to attack next year rather than making trades for less than ideal players this year. Are there trades that I would still explore? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think that you should try to plug every single hole right now. I've mentioned this before. Demaryius Thomas is an interesting player for me. I think that he is someone who fits a need, could potentially be someone who is part of a championship core for you. I'd be into that. There are other players. Like, for example, LeSean McCoy, I think that trade makes no sense. I've said it for a long time. I've talked about running backs. I've talked about paying for running backs. I've talked about trading for highly paid running backs. Like, that's the move that probably makes the least amount of sense to me, just based on the economics of the way that the NFL works now. And in fact, I would argue, I don't know how you can watch football and see what Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt and Saquon Barkley, these guys who are young running backs who you draft, come in and make a difference right away, and you're not having to pay them anywhere close to $10 million a year. I don't know how you can watch today's NFL and be like, you need a guy who is on his second or third contract as a tailback, who's, by the way, closer to 30 than to 20. That doesn't make any sense. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. I would turn the page on the Eagles this year in terms of making sweeping, ridiculous blockbuster trades. I think they might make tweaks. I'm just not confident in the team's ability to get the job done, that being win a Super Bowl this year. With the Sixers and the Flyers, goals are different, sure, than the Eagles' goals were, but I would still say that whatever their goals are still available, are still intact. I think that the Eagles, with another loss, that Super Bowl goal might be just too far out of reach. Let's go to Syed and Mount Laurel next on the Joe Torti Show. Good evening, Syed.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so I would disagree with what you said about the Eagles not having the requisite championship pieces.
Okay.
I think that we do have the requisite pieces. Started off on the wrong foot because Wentz didn't start.
Okay.
And I think that he might have had a better rhythm if he would have started from the first game. I think that he would have gave us maybe a win against Tampa Bay, potentially, maybe. And also, I mean, we had the same players from last year. We had the same core, basically the same offensive line. We beefed up on the defensive line.
But they're playing differently, right? It almost doesn't matter what the names are.
I think a lot of it has to do with coaching as well. You know what I mean?
Explain. What do you mean?
Well, because I think that we have a good rushing attack this year. We just don't run the ball. A lot's been made about our running backs not playing well, but we haven't run the ball enough. You know, when we do run the ball, I think that we have a decent yards per rush. You know what I mean? And I think
agree.
That, and from last year, losing Frank Reich, I mean, how much of an impact? I don't know. I think it had a decent impact because I think he was in Doug's ear about running the football more. And I think that one thing I'll give you is that our defense, they fell off this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's offensive not that line plays, absolutely fallen off from last year.
We won the Super Bowl basically with this roster last year. So what I'm saying is that I think that we had the championship here because we had basically the same exact roster as last year. And so, we can do, you know what I mean? And
so you're saying that because the actual players won the Super Bowl last year, that means that they're capable of winning it again this year? See, that's where my disconnect is. Because they're not playing nearly as well as they did last year.
Yeah, I think the coaching, it's the result of the coaching.
Okay.
You know, and because Carson Wentz didn't start from the beginning. And I just think that we have the pieces, you know what I mean? As long as you have that quarterback, as long as you have Carson. I mean, our defense is ranked number 12th in the NFL. So it's not like, I mean, people are going nuts like we fell off so hard. We're the number two rushing defense in football. So I just think that the way the NFL works, and Max Kellerman talks about this on First Take.
Mm-hmm.
The way the NFL works is most teams, every year you have those couple teams like the Chiefs, the Rams, who are just unbeatable. You know what I mean? Like they're going to get all the breaks. And we were kind of like that last year. But most teams in the NFL are 8-8. And it's going to all be all about how the ball bounces. You know, last year we won. Think about it. That game against the Redskins last year, the first one, I think it was, when Cousins had that last, you know, when he had the ball with, you know, we were down 5. He was just slinging it all game. But we got that sack fumble. It's just things worked out for us last year. You know what I mean? And things are just not working out for us.
Syed, thanks for the phone call, man. That sounds like the team got lucky when you put it that way. And I would not subscribe to that theory. I would subscribe to the theory that the Eagles were the best team in the NFL last year, starting from about week 6 on. That's what I'm saying, is that you have enough information. It's week 7, week 8, right? You're past the point where last year you were like, holy cow, this team's actually pretty darn good. Do you have any indication of that this year? The players are the same, fine. Carson Wentz is playing very well. They're still losing games. Offensive line has not played well. The ground game's been fine, and I'm not absolving the coach from this, to Syed's point. I'm certainly not absolving Doug Peterson. I've talked about the need to run the ball and how that's an essential part of any team that I'm building 100%. You have to have a commitment to run the ball. And actually, in full disclosure, I believe that was more of a John DeFilippo thing in terms of the game balance and getting in Doug's ear and saying, hey, we haven't run the ball enough or whatever. Just a reminder to run. That's going to be part of it, too. But it's hard for me, like championship core to me, I don't care who the actual players are. I've said this from the beginning. I care about the production that you're getting from each spot. Last year, you had Nigel Bradham step in for Jordan Hicks and have just a career year. Bradham was outstanding. Malcolm Jenkins was outstanding. I don't see outstanding on this team anymore. I just don't. And that's what I mean by a championship-level core. I think that's the element that this team's missing. It's not necessarily the names. It's that no one is playing, outside of Carson Wentz, who's playing very well. You look at the stats he is, but even he missed Wendell Smallwood in the flat on a play that I saw again today, and I almost threw the remote through the screen. Like, you can't miss it. I just don't know if they have the pieces. And saying that just because you have the quarterback, you always have a chance. Seattle's got one in Russell Wilson. And they haven't had a chance for a long time. So it's like, what do you do? The quarterback's not enough. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Now, by the way, I'm not saying that it's all the Eagles' fault this year either, because when you have injuries at all those key positions, that does change things dramatically. I get it. You get Alshon Jeffrey back, the offense looks better. It still doesn't look good. The production's been poor. And I said that you cannot pin 21 fourth quarter points on Carolina's comeback. You can't pin that all on the defense. Because if the offense possesses the ball for literally any length of time, Carolina's not going to have the chance to put up three touchdown drives. Eagles didn't do it. Rob in South Jersey's next on the Joe Torty Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you
appreciate
doing?
Appreciate the call. Long-time listener.
Thanks,
just
man.
Wanted to comment on some of the things that previous borrower said.
Sure.
The defense is letting up a few less, points per game. So defense, I don't pin it on them. That earlier polls, 75,000 people, 48% said defense. Absolutely not. That was completely down to the clutch. Carson, franchise guy, I pinned that loss on him. Okay, had Smallwood in the flat. That ball was like he could have walked in from there.
Yeah.
Right? That's first. Second, I blame it on the offense as well because Howie, especially for not getting a take it over the top defense kind of guy. We need a speed guy. Wallace went down. We don't have Torrey Smith from last year. We need that guy. We also are not. It's not that we're not running the ball. This is a pass league, and last year we did not run the ball effectively until I don't want to say that. We depended on the run in the fourth quarter to protect the lead. We're not moving the chains. Right now, we don't have that between the tackle runner. Clements banged up. We've got Adams. Who knows when Sproles comes back? He might come back for like three games and then get hurt again. We need to make two moves. Howie needs to go out. He needs to get the power in between the tackle runner that can carry us in the fourth quarter. Blunt, gone. Ajayi wasn't ever, he made some people miss, but he wasn't your horse. All right. Blunt was, I agree. He had 1 year left. All right. I don't disagree with getting rid of him, freeing up the cap, making some different moves, but Howie hasn't really brought anybody in here to make a difference. This team is different this year because Howie did not make the right moves. Not only that, but it comes down from the coaching. We've had the wrong defensive scheme for the last 3 weeks. We take the foot off the neck, off the throat when we have the lead. We lost three close games. This team could be, 5-1 or whatever it is. We've lost three close games that we all had the lead late in the game. Third or fourth quarter, we've had the lead and lost all three games, except for the Bucks and other.
Rob, you're right. You're right about that. And thanks for the phone call. You're absolutely right. However, here's the thing that I would say is that in addition to Howie Roseman, who I agree, by the way, did not make enough of the right moves this offseason, the one glaring one that a lot of people had, this isn't a hindsight move. I didn't think it would make that big of a difference, but it did. Choosing Darren Sproles over LeGarrette Blount was an absolute mistake. Like that, I think it's clear now that based on what Darren Sproles could give you, or potentially depending on whether he's available or not, that was a mistake, and not keeping LeGarrette Blount. But I have to disagree with the idea that the run pass balance is not out of whack, because I'm looking at their schedule last year. They being the Eagles. Do you want to hear about Carson Wentz's passing statistics? This is yardage, right? When they were 1-1, he'd passed for 307 yards and 333 yards. That 333-yard passing effort at Kansas City was full-on malpractice by Doug Peterson, not running the ball in a close game in the third quarter, just decided he had to throw. And that's when I thought that this thing was just done. I thought, you know what? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. However, after that, Carson Wentz passing yardages, and I'm just going to go down the list. 176, 242, 304, 222, 268, 211, 199, 168, 227. Did all of that happen in three quarters? He never threw it in the fourth quarter. They were blowing every single team out. Now, they were blowing some teams out, right? Arizona was a full-on blowout. San Francisco, blowout. Denver, blowout. Dallas, blowout. Chicago, right? But a lot of times, it was because they weren't just waiting to run the ball in the third quarter. They were running they just had a good balance. So I don't agree with that narrative that they'd get up and then they'd just run the ball the entire fourth quarter. the running game was a part of the Eagles gaining the advantages that they had over those teams last year and getting the lead in the first three quarters. So that's the only area where I'll absolutely disagree. Let's go to Matt in Allentown. What's happening, Matt? Matt. All right, Matt is not with us. Let's go to Charles in Northeast Philly. Hey, Charles.
How you doing, Joe?
Good evening.
Joe, always great listening to you. The game that happened Sunday, I've been watching football since I was 7 years old. I've seen that game happen 100 times, where Team A dominates Team B for like 2.5, 3 quarters.
Yep.
But then in the fourth quarter, Team B gets momentum, and Team A can't make a play to stop it. Now, everybody blames the defense for that game, Joe, and listen, the defense has its culpability. Okay? But the offense had to make a play, too. And then he get it done. Listen, I called the Colors earlier in the week and Jason and said, hey, as good as Wentz has been, he hasn't been clutch. I don't have a lot of confidence with him having the football in his hands. And he has to make that play to Smallwood, by the way.
Yes.
But having said all that, and given the first half, it's been very disappointing. This is a better than 3-4 football team. I still feel this team in the end, Joe, will win this division. Now, I don't know how far they're going to go in the playoffs because right now, with that loss to Carolina, they probably did wave bye-bye to the bye.
Right.
But I don't believe, though, this team all of a sudden became a bad football team. What I believe is happening this year, unlike last year, is they're not making key plays. I mean, they can't stop a 4th and 15 in Tennessee to close the game out. Even in the Carolina game, they stopped the 4th and 10 with a little over 2 minutes to go. They closed that game out. Now, granted, any football game, you could name 2 or 3 plays. And that's even when you win. But you don't look at them when you win.
Right.
So my thing is, I still think the Eagles will win this division, but would I like to see Howie add another wide receiver or running back before the trade deadline? Yes. And do I agree with you that choosing Sproles, even though I love Darren Sproles, over LeGarrette Blount was a mistake? Yes. And I'll give you one more, Joe. How about this?
Okay.
How about choosing Haloti Ngata over Bo Allen? Bo Allen should have been re-signed to this team, and this is why teams are running more than the Eagles. Bo Allen's a better player than Ngata, and to me, he should have been on this team, Bo Allen, and so should have LeGarrette Blount.
Interesting. I'll address that in a second, Charles. But so you said you have confidence that they're going to win the division. I actually think that's possible as well. But what's going to be the key? Like you said, if they're not making plays now, and that was the key to the 3-4 start, is it just as simple as they're going to start making plays, or what's the catalyst for that to happen?
I think the catalyst is Carson Wentz.
Okay.
And listen, I hate to put it on one guy, Joe, but I got to put it on Carson Wentz. He's got to start making plays in the clutch. Like he didn't see Smallwood. And listen, I'm not blaming him for the loss. You lose as a team, you win as a team.
Right.
But let's say the way it is right now. As big a Carson Wentz fan as I am, right now, I can't call him an elite quarterback. Because you know what I know, an elite quarterback at the end of that game takes his team in for the victory. So I think he's got to up his level if this team's going to get to where they want to go.
Fair enough, Charles. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate that. With respect to the Haloti Ngata thing versus Bo Allen, I have a perspective on that. And also, I wanted to get into this other conversation, too, surrounding our friend Carson Wentz and what we can possibly label him as. Because Charles just used two words that I think are very interesting when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. So all of that and more is coming up. 610-632-0975. This is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic. NFL Week 8, and the Birds are at an alarming 3-4. After blowing a game at home, what can we expect from the Eagles in London versus the Jags? Join Jason Avant, Stephon Gibbons, and Bob Cooney starting early at 7 a.m. live from Sugar House for the Fanatic pregame show.
Listen for the Fanatic's Tim McManus checking in from Wembley Stadium.
After the game, it's Torti and Stazak. He'll be taking your calls and instant reaction on the Fanatic postgame show.
All the pre and postgame action is on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome to the revolution. Global movement to transform the human body into a disease-fighting machine. Our immune systems fortified. Our immune cells retrained to hunt down and destroy deadly diseases. And today at Penn Medicine, we have dozens of new therapies in hundreds of clinical trials. All dedicated to the day when the body can shake Parkinson's, when Alzheimer's is a memory, when millions of people destroy cancer each year. Instead of the other way around. This is no mere battle. This is not even medicine as we know it. This is a revolution. Long live the immuno-revolution. Now rising at Penn Medicine. Learn more at immunorevolution.org.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said...
When we donate 1 million pairs of socks... I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
Football is back, and that's only the second best news I've got. That's because FanDuel's brand new sports app is live, so you can get the premier sports betting experience you've been dreaming of finally. FanDuel Sportsbook has all of your favorite sports and bets, spreads, money lines, and much, much more. And since it's FanDuel, you can trust that it's all 100% legit. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is only available in New Jersey. You can download the app, deposit, and check out the lines from anywhere, but you'll only be able to place those bets in the Garden State. Best of all, FanDuel will double your first deposit. Just use my promo code BOB, B-O-B. If you deposit $20, they'll give you another $20 to bet with, all the way up to $100, as long as you use my code BOB, B-O-B. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or visit FanDuel.com/NJ. That's FanDuel.com/NJ. Use my code BOB to get your bonus and start betting today. New accounts only. Must wager deposit and bonus credit. Must be 21 or older. In New Jersey only. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for terms and conditions.
It's too cold. Is the heater on?
Seems fine to me.
Relationships can be tricky. Now it's too hot.
I adjusted the thermostat.
But there's one thing everyone can agree on. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning. I like them.
Me too.
Because couples know their local Bryant dealer will do whatever it takes to make sure everyone is comfortable, including great financing offers up to 72 months subject to credit approval. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. Bryant.
Whatever it takes.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Now through December 15th, get special financing for 60 months or discounts up to $1,000 on a qualifying new American Standard heating and air conditioning system. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find a dealer near you.
Gathering with your family for the game? Don't forget the Dietz and Watson family. Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses are made using recipes perfected over four generations. At home or in the lot, go with Dietz and Watson Philadelphia Eagles beef style Franks or try original chicken sausages. Ready to throw on the grill? Tailgating at an Eagles home game? Post a photo on Facebook or Instagram and hashtag it Tailgate Family. The Dietz and Watson tailgate team just might stop by to give you free meat, cheese, and great gear. Go Birds! Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing.
Question. Would you rather refuel while earning Exxon and Mobil Rewards plus points on every gallon? Or would you rather refuel while sitting through my sales pitch for an exciting new timeshare opportunity? Interesting. You'd prefer the points. Well, that's proof. People prefer earning and redeeming with Exxon and Mobil Rewards plus over owning a condo that's actually my shed. Sign up now and get 15 cents per gallon and points for 30 days at ExxonMobilRewardsPlus.com. Terms and conditions may apply. Available at participating Exxon and Mobil locations. You must fully enroll prior to January 31st, 2019 in order to participate.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Light on us.
Hey, little man, I promise I'm gonna stop smoking because I don't want to miss a single moment of your life. I found a great place to help. Poppy's Vapor Lounge. Poppy's owner quit smoking when his grandpa introduced him to vaping. That's why he named his stores Poppy's, to honor his grandfather and help people quit smoking. with the lowest prices and best selection on vaping supplies.
Poppy's Vapor Lounge in Marlton and Turnersville. Use promo code SIMPLE for 10% off at poppiesvapor.com.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Tax and tax additional. All offers on select models with approved credit. 27-month leases. $36.95 due at signing. Offer includes 1500 GM competitive lease rebate if qualified. 40% off used 2018 Buick LaCrosse. Qualifications exist. Offers expire 10/31/18. Call 1-800-CURBACK for full details.
It's FC Curbeck Buick GMC's leftover model year closeout. Save up to 40% off original MSRP. Just $97 down or $97 a month. Lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or 2019 Buick Encore. Plus, stop in through month end and enter for our vintage 1977 MG convertible. No purchase necessary. Yes, lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or Buick Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month. FC Curbeck has 250 GMCs and Buicks to choose. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Your choice. Lease new 2019 Terrain or Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month at FC Curbeck. Online at FCCurbeckBuickGMC.com.
Come join us.
The home of Sal Palantonio, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. Sam Fletcher is producing this evening. It's a question that has emerged kind of organically because there was a big debate, and I think it's ridiculous to make a determination about whether a kid, you know, because of one play that he made or didn't make in a career, is clutch or not clutch, right? And the conversation regarding Carson Wentz has been like, oh, I don't think this guy's clutch. I have literally had people call in and say that Nick Foles would have made the throws at the end of the game that you need. Yeah. But here's a question that I have, right? How come we always have the terms clutch and elite so closely tied together? I know that like one of the stats that people always look at when it comes to quarterbacks is like fourth quarter overtime comeback wins. Like that's one of the things that people always look at, right? But the question that I have is like, why does whatever clutch means come into that? Tom Brady and Brett Favre, and there are a lot of clutch quarterbacks, Drew Brees, who have had big time comebacks over the course of their careers or have always performed on the biggest stage or whatever. Joe Montana, Michael Jordan, everybody who's, look at their winning percentages in championship games and look at how high it is, right? One of the most prolific players ever at a position and a multiple Super Bowl winner, I think, at the quarterback position, I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, that guy's not a clutch quarterback. Peyton Manning was one of the best all-time passing numbers accumulators that exists, period. Whether you think that he's overrated or not, I think that you'd be a fool if you didn't call him an elite quarterback, right? Like, even Peyton Manning's like staunchest detractors be like, that guy is an elite quarterback. And I would argue that not even his biggest fans can be like, man, Peyton Manning, that was one clutch SOB. That was a, what's Anthony call him? A foxhole guy. That's a guy that you want in the foxhole. Really? Peyton Manning, the foxhole guy, who like at literally every possible opportunity, you just throw the offensive line directly under the bus or the coaching staff anytime that there was any kind of problem. Whatever, this isn't a personal attack. It's more of an attack of this idea that, like, by attacking Carson Wentz's clutchness, which, by the way, I think is unfair this early in his career to begin with, but that's tied in with his elite-level ability. So I want to get into this. I don't think that there's any question that Carson Wentz's ability is elite. In fact, if you look at, like I said, I talked about this before the break. If you look at Carson Wentz's production this year, he is like on an outrageous pace. If you thought last year was good, and it was obviously because the Eagles were winning, the most important thing is that he has the 11-2 record last year. He's already lost more games this year than last year. But he's completing 71% of his passes almost. He is averaging 50 more yards per game than he was last year. Yeah, the quarterback rating is not as high. Give it time because, you know, he had 33 touchdowns last year. This year he has 10 touchdowns, one interception. He's playing outrageously good football. Really, really good football. Has the same number of fourth quarter comebacks as he did last year. Has the same number of game-winning drives as he did last year. It's all the same, and yet we're like, oh, did Carson Wentz take a step back? I think that's patently ridiculous. Personally, I enjoy the idea of having a mobile quarterback, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I want my quarterback to be a running quarterback. I don't think that that is a winning strategy when you're paying that person eventually, whatever, $150, $200 million, whatever it's going to cost to keep Carson Wentz. I think that having that guy be a running quarterback is kind of foolish. It seems like a poor investment. So when you're looking at it through that lens, you say, all right, well, Carson Wentz, if we thought that he was elite last year, we thought that he was MVP level last year, he's certainly on that level this year. He's at least on that pace this year. And yet, because the Eagles aren't winning games, and in particular, because of the way that Carolina came in, and as Charles in the Northeast is laying it out pretty well, I think, there are a lot of facets to why a team could surrender a 21-point lead, and even or a 17-point lead. And despite that, Carson Wentz still having the ability to lead the team down the field, despite, you know, it was a pass interference penalty, but he had to throw the ball and everything else, had a chance, Wentz did, to close it out and to give your team the victory, or at least have a better chance for victory than the Alshon Jeffrey shot in the end zone, which was, the more you watch it, less and less excusable. But it's a bad play. One bad play made in the course of a game. And I'm sure that Wentz has had difficulty sleeping, thinking about, if I just threw it to Smallwood in the flat, maybe the entire game's different. Every quarterback does that, right? I would argue that even if Wentz never develops the clutch gene, which, by the way, I hope that he already has it. I hope that he has the ability to reveal it. But even if he never ends up having clutch performances, I think it's kind of splitting hairs, but that doesn't mean that he can't be an elite-level quarterback. I would rather the Eagles get back as a team to the way that they were last year, when you don't need to worry about clutch when you're smoking every team, when you're just crushing teams. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the games that Carson Wentz has played. Well, you know what? Let's expand it to just who the Eagles have played. The Atlanta Falcons. Let me just confirm my suspicions here, right? Because I don't anticipate the Falcons were a very good team. They have won two in a row against the Buccaneers and the Giants. But they're in last place in the NFC South. And the Falcons themselves hold a sterling 3-4 record. Not great, same as the Eagles. Who else have they beaten? They've beaten the Indianapolis Colts. Somebody tried to call in and I think told me to shut up during this call. The Colts had a very inspiring win over the Buffalo Bills, which our friend didn't want to admit. So that brings their record to 2-5. All right. Great. Really, really grand so far. And of course, how could you forget the crown jewel of all of them? The all-important divisional win over the 1-6 New York Giants. I don't have... I don't have any confidence in those wins. Yeah, they're wins. You don't give them back. Wins are hard to come by in the NFL. But I don't think that the Eagles accomplished a whole lot in terms of determining, all right, this is a team that's, you know, here to last. Teams that they lost to. 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4-2 Carolina Panthers. Loss, loss. I mean, I'm not overwhelmingly convinced by the fact that this team is whatever ready to compete means. I don't think that there's any quit. It's that, like, when you look at it, it's like, all right, I don't think that, you know, reading too far into, and by the way, the Vikings end up being a good team, 23-21, that was a close game. You know, the Buccaneers we talked about, the Titans we talked about, not crazy, overwhelming teams, except maybe the Vikings. If the Vikings round into form, they still could end up being one of the better teams in the conference, certainly. But there's a lot of time between now and then. The Eagles are used to blowing teams out. That's what they did last year. They built up a big lead and then let their defense get after it, and the pass rush just kept going and going and going. They looked more and more like the, in fact, Indianapolis Colts teams of the Peyton Manning era. I was talking about it with Tyrone Johnson during the break in between Mike's show and my show. It was uncanny, the Indianapolis Colts' ability to win the coin toss. It was like, it was ridiculous. They won the coin toss at a ridiculous rate. Got the football. Peyton Manning marched down the field and scored because that's what Peyton Manning did in the first quarter, and especially on first drives. Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, whoever it was, doesn't matter. It was just dominating. They had the ground game with Marshall Faulk and Edgerrin James, and it was gross. It was gross, that Colts offense. This is like pre-Brandon Stokely or Dallas Clark or those guys. Manning was whooping wholesale ass way before that. But now you've got a 7-0 lead. And then the pass rush gets to work where Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis aren't really worried about the running game. They're worried about the running game on the way to the quarterback. Does that sound like any team to you? To me, that sounds a whole lot like the Eagles' plan of attack last year. It wasn't just because of Carson Wentz and his ability. Like, there was a big part of it there, but also the commitment to the ground game. And then all of a sudden, we're using terms like NASCAR package for four defensive ends on the defensive line, pinning their ears back and going back and getting guys and putting teams in positions where they know that they're already behind 7-0. It's worth looking at, and it's not a bad strategy. The Colts won a ton of games that way, by trying to get ahead early and then pass rushing and then continuing to push, force a turnover, and then if you turn the ball over against the Colts, it was over. Kind of sounds like what happened with the Eagles last year, doesn't it? What does this all mean? It means that, once again, you know, this winning pretty conversation just gets in the way of winning at all sometimes. It started last year, and it carried over again into this year. One of the things that I was thinking about was that the Eagles were clearly earmarked for the Super Bowl, at least to get there, right? I mean, if you weren't ready to say that they were going to beat the Patriots, for the record, I was. I was one of the earliest people on any airwaves to say that they were not only going to beat the Patriots, but they were a stone-cold mortal lock, the best team in the NFL from week 8 on. So take that for what it's worth. Not that I remember. But the conversations that people would call in, be like, I can't believe that Sean McVay is beating Doug Peterson for Coach of the Year. I'm like, what are you talking about, Coach of the Year? Do you realize that the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl? And we're talking about Coach of the Year? It's not only about excellence. It's about how to, you know, be able to flaunt it over everybody and how you win and the way that you're able to do. And it happened again this year. The way that we were having conversations about a Super Bowl banner in the locker room and defending champs and nobody believes that we can repeat and stuff. Trying to bring the underdogs thing back, I'm like, dude, I don't see a way that this translates well for the Eagles. I just really don't. If I were the Eagles, this is what I would do. I would focus on what you need to do in order to score first period and then rev up the pass rush package. Because I don't think with the tools that you have right now, this is a team that's built for slugfest football. You look at all their close games, all of their close games, except for the Falcons game. The Colts game came down to a missed Hail Mary, by the way, that Andrew Luck didn't even throw. They brought in Jacoby Brissett. That was a total circus. They're not built to win close games. They haven't this year. There's been one blowout. That was when they beat the Giants, and the Giants are getting blown out by everybody and their sister. You got to turn these games into blowouts, or else I don't have confidence in the team's ability to pull it out. And at 3-4, you're running out of time. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tom in Doylestown. Good evening, Tom. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
So I'm really looking at the Eagles right now, and I'm thinking about, you know, Doug Peterson really invented this fourth and goal, go for it type of offense, right?
Sure.
And we've seen Titans fourth and two in the overtime, they go for it. We've seen Panthers 4th-and-10 when they probably could have punted and go for it. You know, I'm really looking for Doug Peterson to evolve and really advance in the NFL here. And also see Jim Schwartz like adapt to what Doug Peterson really invented, which is the 4th-and-go offense, right? We really need to see the Eagles as a coaching staff evolve and adapt to the new NFL. And I don't think we've seen that yet.
So what do you think the next step is, Tom?
I mean, we really got to see the defense step up. I mean, we can't let up 4th-and-15 against the Titans. We can't let up 4th-and-10 against the Tennessee Titans or against the
I agree with you. First of all, you can't give those up. But to be fair, they're completely different. The first one, Corey Graham just literally didn't play his position on 4th-and-15. That was ridiculous. And on 4th-and-10, Jalen Mills fell down. It's terrible, but at least I understand that more than a guy not playing his position.
I mean, but when you go back to Jalen Mills, you look at him on the third down before that, right? He breaks up a pass, and he's out there flexing.
Right.
Like he's the best corner in the NFL, but that's not the case. He needs to get in his own head and realize where he is and be ready for that fourth down and not let Torrey Smith get open and go for 30-plus yards,
sure.
Whatever it was.
That's
right?
That's a fair critique. Absolutely.
The coaching staff has to be ready. Like, coaches in the NFL are going to go for it on fourth down now. You can't be playing for three downs. We got to be ready to go for that.
Yeah, well, Tom, and that's the thing. That's why I said, thanks for the phone call. There's no reason for the play call to be the way it was on third down and two. If it's four down territory anyway, think about what I'm saying here. Because the Eagles had timeouts. If it's four down territory anyway, you can't throw the ball on third down. Why? Because you just picked up 8 yards on the ground the previous play with Wendell Smallwood. You've got a quarterback who's 6'5" and 240 pounds or whatever Wentz is. He's a big guy. And even though they only sneak on third or fourth and one, it seems to me like Wentz always picks up at least 2.5 yards. Maybe that's anecdotal. I don't have the stats evidence in front of me. It just always seems like that's the case. If you're going to go for it on fourth down, you've got two cracks at it anyway, so why not sneak for 1 yard, sneak for a second yard, and then go from there? Or run and then sneak on fourth down. Whatever. The only thing you can't do is throw. But then they do throw, and they have a play in place that works, and Wendell Smallwood leaks out into the left flat and is absolutely 100% going to beat the defensive back to the sticks and the sideline because the corner has dropped down onto Zach Ertz, knowing that that's where Wentz would want to throw the ball. So you don't do what you should do. You do something that you shouldn't do instead. It's going to work out anyway, and you don't make the play. That's not a defensive problem. I am not a huge Jalen Mills fan, and I become less of a Jalen Mills fan for the time that he is actively finger wagging. During that period, that window, I'm more out on Jalen Mills. Falling happens. Slipping, falling, whatever. Corey Graham, what happened there on 4th-and-15, that doesn't just happen. Literally just watching a guy run past you, that doesn't happen. But I don't think those two plays are the same. Am I absolving the defense? I'm not. I am not. But in 2018, if you hold the team to 21 points, you're probably going to win the game. You can't score 17 points in that game. You can't do it. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Hop aboard on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Chris in Pensacon. What's happening, Chris?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
Man, look, this is the biggest difference to me, and I'm going to get straight to it. The biggest key factor from this year to last year we had LeGarrette Blount. On those third and two plays at the end of the game, we need to seal it out. We'll get the ball third and two, LeGarrette Blount. He'll pick up 11.
Yep.
You know, seal the game right away. You don't got to put it on your defense. It's like second and five or something. LeGarrette Blount will bust a 25-yard run, you know, and just completely demoralize the offense. Now yep. We got Lindell Smallwood. Nobody respects him. Like, he must be a real nice guy. He probably is. But he don't get the job done. Like, he's like flat out, he don't get it done. Darren Sproles is always injured. We don't never see him. You know, J.J. came on late. But the biggest thing is we don't have a running game. We don't have a running game to speak of whatsoever. It makes zero sense. And I don't know, like, how management got here. I get you couldn't see a Jai getting hurt. But still, like, Darren Sproles is at the end of his career. And, you know, he's hardly on the field ever. And you're relying on Lindell Smallwood. Like, there's really no one else.
They chose Sproles over Blount. I'm sure of it. It came down to that. It's like, we only have this much money to spend on running backs and this many roster spots. What are we going to do? And they made the determination to keep Darren Sproles instead of LeGarrette Blount, and that's absolutely a mistake.
Yeah, and, like, I could harp on the defense and, like, Jalen Mills, but, like, at the end of that Carolina game, if you can just get two first downs on the ground and run the clock out, you know, the defense is bailed out. You know, like, I can't stand Jalen Mills more than anybody because he'll get burnt 10 times in a game and get one stop and think he's, like, the greatest corner to ever live. but man, it's like the running game, it's like every time you see it, it's like third and two. They're in the shotgun with no running back in the backfield. You're just telling the defense right there, we can't run the ball, and we're letting you know straight up we can't run it.
Yeah.
So just stick to pass.
No deception. You're absolutely right, Chris. And you know what? Thanks for the phone call. That's the and the resistance that I've gotten is like, oh, it's the defense's job, Torti, to keep the offense from scoring. I don't know what you're not getting about this. Okay. You can't in 2018. You cannot stop offenses from scoring. You just can't. It's impossible to do. You're supposed to slow it down. You're supposed to be the dam that, you know, slows down the water. Okay. It's the offense who, by the way, all the rules are skewed in your favor that didn't do their job in the second half. You've got a 17-point third quarter lead. You come into the fourth quarter. You're not able to pick up first. Literally, they picked up one first down, right? They picked up a first down on the first drive. Panthers went down and scored after they punted. And then they went three and out on their second drive. They got And then, of course, on their final drive, they got the first down from the pass interference penalty. And then after that, it was a disaster. That is not the offense doing their job. They did not take enough time off the clock. It's not necessarily even about just bailing out your defense, but it's what you're supposed to do in 2018. In 2018, you know what defense is there to do? Get turnovers. Like, that's the reason the defenses are out there, because the offenses are totally helped out and protected by the rules and everything else. Hear Pat Callahan talk about that on This Week in Pro Football and everything else. I don't have a problem with it as long as my offense is also going to continue to do the things that they're supposed to do. Because I think that when it all evens out, the best teams win. That's why I blame more. I lay more blame at the feet of the Eagles offense than any other unit on the field. Because in the fourth quarter, while the Carolina Panthers were marching, by the way, got stopped the entire first three quarters of the game. So if you can say that the defense didn't do their job in the fourth quarter, I would argue that they did their job incredibly well in the first three quarters. Offense has to step up and has to be able to get some first downs and milk some clock. They were not able to do that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Hey, man. I mean, I agree with what you're saying here, but I don't think anybody did their job in the fourth quarter, offense or defense.
It's fair.
You know what I mean? The offense, you know, obviously 17 points is just, in this league, is just not going to be enough points to get it done. I mean, even regardless of winning 17-0, you got to play almost some college ball and just kind of run that score up as much as you can until it's out of reach.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to get it so big that you're putting Nick Foles in the game and you're putting all your backups in. Like that's what you got to do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And now, so the thing is, Drew, too, and I think you just pointed that out, that it's kind of silly to point out that, for example, that a lot of the blame has gone to the defense when the offense scored 17 total points. You're right. You've got to – there's no such thing as enough points to win in the NFL when the rules are so skewed to the offense. There's almost like no lead safe.
Yeah, right.
All right, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you. That opens up a phone line at 610-632-0975. By the way, I wanted to play this audio for you, too, because we were talking about the Eagles and their focus heading into Jacksonville. Fletcher Cox was talking on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he was discussing the specific challenges and the mindset for the Eagles heading into this game.
I think the most important thing is, you know, we want to make sure that we're ready to play the Jaguars on Sunday. You know, we want to keep focused. Even though we do have a long trip across the water, you know, the main thing for this team is just to stay focused on you know, what we have to do, what we need to do once we get over there. It's a business trip. You know, it's another game we get to play on Sundays.
And that's, I think, the focus that's going to become necessary. The problem is, I can't believe that I'm saying this. I've been talking so much positivity about the Jaguars that I feel like Bill Belichick myself. The Jaguars have been to London each of the last 3 years, right? So that means that they have experience with all of this. That means that they have a routine down. They have a schedule down. They know where the hotel is. They know where they're staying. They know what their curfews are. They know what to do on the plane on the way over in order to not be totally jet lagged when they get there. They're not going to be distracted by the sightseeing. There's all kinds of stuff that plays into going over and competing across the pond that the Eagles, this is their virgin voyage. They've never done it before. So that means there's going to be some element of trying to make sure that you can keep it a business trip while also saying, all right, well, this is pretty cool. Like playing football in London for people who don't get to watch a whole lot of football, rabid fans and things like that. I think it's going to be difficult for the Eagles. I've pointed that out. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. Also at Joe Torti and at 97.5, The Fanatic. Taking a look, by the way, I always like to provide some perspective here. There is, if you haven't heard this, this is the coolest thing. And Brent Celek and John Dornbos will be able to show you this. There's a bar in London, a Philly bar. Let me back up. I was talking to friends of mine who are parents of an Eagles cheerleader, and they were talking about going over across the pond and stuff, and they said, watch out. They said the food is not good over there. I have always heard that. I've never been to London. I can't confirm. I would assume that London's like an international city, so I'd assume that there's more to eat there than just like traditional British food. I would assume that everybody who comes and lands in London opens up a restaurant at some point. There's a Philly bar in London. Sam, are you aware of this? There's a Philly bar in London called Passyunk Avenue. And it's got all the stuff that you need. It's got your cheesesteaks. It's got your onion rings. It's got all the Philly stuff. And Brent Celek and John Dornbos were there, you know, earlier this week and brought the Lombardi trophy to the Philly bar there, and all the Eagles fans went nuts. John Clark has it on his Twitter account. It's pretty cool stuff. But the Eagles are over there, and yep, they're trying to get ready. They're doing all the stuff already. They're doing the tour. They're doing Big Ben. They're doing, is London Bridge a real thing? What's the British slang? They're wearing insane kind of like silvery white jackets, starter jackets that have the Kelly Green Eagles written across the front. Oh, this is, I didn't even think about this. I forgot that Jay Ajayi is British, right? I think I forgot about this. Oh, this is so sad. Yeah, he's an English-born running back. He was born in London. So, Jeff Skaversky, you know, is on crutches, had the ACL surgery. He has a full display, does Ajayi, at the London Museum. His Super Bowl ring, his jersey, everything else. And he said that he cried when he found out that he couldn't play for the Eagles in London. That is a bummer. How often is Jay Ajayi going to get that chance to go back to London? And he just so happens to be on a team that's going to London this time, and he's not able to play. That's a bummer. I feel for Jay Ajayi on that front. I really do. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. We still have some Brett Brown to play, right? Before we fully close the book on the Sixers, because we were talking about the Sixers as well, Brett Brown was talking once again to NBC Sports Philadelphia regarding Markelle Fultz, and obviously that's the billion-dollar question when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. And when he entered the game very late and in the fourth quarter, this is what Brett Brown said he told him.
Just come out with personality and swagger and compete. You know, they're a hard team to guard. You know, a few of their guards went at him just like they did everybody else on our team. And for him to sit down and, you know, take whatever anxiousness, whatever, you know, frustration we were losing, he was doing okay to flip it into guarding. And then to push in the pace and just get him going. It's part of 82 games. It's part of being 20 years old in the NBA. Trying to just make sure that he knows he got a bunch of people around him trying to wind him up and help him. And it starts with him, you know, helping himself. And it's just part of, as I said, his evolution in a very difficult league.
And when I initially heard that, the reason that perked up to me, or I perked up when I heard that, is because we've heard people complaining a whole lot over the course of the last week, and whether it's been because of the Eagles or the Flyers or the Sixers in particular, and Markelle Fultz specifically, people have been talking about Markelle Fultz and saying that, you know, I'm disappointed. He seems like he's lackadaisical out there. He seems like he doesn't care. He seems like he's not playing with enough emotion. And yet Brett Brown comes out and actually says that that's a message that he has for Markelle Fultz, is to come out and play with some swagger and aggression and play that way on defense and everything else. Thought it was particularly interesting. By the way, want to remind you, of course, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club. Three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Your phone number to join the conversation right now, 610-632-0975. It's a great time to get on board. You can also catch up on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. So coming up, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. And the topic at hand is panic level with the Eagles affecting you in any way. It's like an opportunity to confess. Are you being harder on the Sixers or the Flyers because of the way that things have played out for the Eagles? Or are you in the, you know, stay calm, it's going to be fine camp? Where are you confidence-wise with the non-Eagles teams out there, and the Eagles for that matter? It is the Joe Torti Show. We'll be right back after this on The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic invites you to hang with us for kegs and eggs at the Fanatic London pregame show at Sugar House Casino starting at 7 a.m.
Yeah, baby!
Join former Eagle Jason Avant, Devon Gibbons, and Bob Cooney. Then stay for the official Fanatic watch party with Natalie and Andrew. This week's big prize is a VIP experience, including a chauffeured evening and a Rolls Royce, dinner for two, and tickets to a Sixers game courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Car Rentals.
Must be present to win, drawing at the end of halftime.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Watch the game on Fishtown Hop's huge 10x10 big screen. Dollar Dogs, $2 Miller Lite Drafts, and $12 Miller Lite Buckets.
Presented by Sugar House Casino. Philly loves a winner.
Supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances. This is Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is Pat Callahan inviting you to join Joe Torti and me for Season 17 of This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Joe and I will dig into the biggest NFL topics, preview the week's slate of games, and debate the gridiron issues that matter to you. Of course, each week we'll focus on the defending champs and check out the Birds matchup, including key injuries, personnel matchups, and keep tabs on the most watched quarterback non-rivalry ever. South Palantonio returns at 11 a.m. each week with his unique and insightful take on the champs and the Shield, including the weekly top five. Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com checks in every Saturday with most of your fantasy answers. It's me versus Joey Bags in the dreaded pick segment. And we will look back at past Eagle and NFL greats and ask, where are they now? So be sure to join Joe Torti and me for some old school football talk every Saturday at 10 a.m. on your definitive source for all things Birds and NFL. It's This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Big savings are going to rock the house. It's Gateway Kia's Rocktober Savings Spectacular. Get up to $6,000 overbooked for your trade, or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. Rock on in a new 2018 Kia Forte. Just $149 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero due at sign. Or get a new 2019 Kia Sportage. Just $199 a month. Zero down payment, zero first payment, zero due at sign. Come let us rock your world by getting up to $6,000 overbooked value for your trade. Or we'll match your down payment up to $6,000. When you want to get big savings that rock, we'll see you at Gateway Kia. Route 611 in Warrington and Route 309 in Quakertown. Shop online at shopgatewaykia.com.
Gateway Kia, the discount Kia giant.
Uses a 36-month zero security deposit, 10K miles per year lease, and tax title and DMV. Discount lease only. Trade gals value with credit approval expires 10/31/18.
Are you ready to get in, get out, and get paid flipping houses in the Philadelphia area? If so, here's an amazing opportunity for you. The NV Real Estate Academy has created a three-step paper flip strategy that allows you to write an offer, sell the offer, and get paid. With this strategy, you'll learn how to flip a house without swinging a hammer or using any of your own cash or credit. Now, for a limited time, the NV Real Estate Academy would like to share this strategy with you for free. Call 1-800-614-2029 right now to get your free Hidden Treasures and Wholesale Properties kit and find out how you can get paid writing offers. Call 800-614-2029 now. And NV Real Estate Academy will also give you four free tickets to a training workshop, which also includes a free smartwatch and Nick Vertucci's new book, Seven Figure Decisions. All these gifts are free just for attending, plus an opportunity to network with like-minded investors. Call 800-614-2029. That's 800-614-2029 to get your free wholesale kit. Call now.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeteer, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With game day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Oh. Dilly Dilly.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Lite on us.
If you want Jeeps and more
more Jeeps for less, you gotta see Jeff now. Number one Jeff D'Ambrosio Destination Downingtown is having the biggest Jeep sell-down ever, with up to $5,000 off new Jeeps and payments as low as $99 a month. Wranglers, Grand Cherokees, Renegade, Cherokee, Compasses. Jeff has the Jeep you want. You only have to go to one place for the lowest price. Largest selection. That's Jeff D'Ambrosio Destination Downingtown during the Jeep Adventure Days.
Nobody beats Jeff Field.
2019 Jeep Cherokee Latitude plus 4x4. 36 month lease with $49.95 down. Cash trade. 10,000 miles per year. Tax and tax additional. Must be in current lease with approved credit. Up to $5,000 off select Wranglers.
Rich Eisen here. The family's packed away in your new Honda Odyssey heading to Grandma's. Then your kids start fighting in the back. Thankfully, available Magic Slide seats let you easily separate them when they get out of hand. Through a camera, the available Cabin Watch lets you keep tabs on them from the driver's seat. Or if they're watching a movie on the available Advanced Rear Entertainment System, available Cabin Talk mutes it, letting you talk directly through their headphones. With a Honda Odyssey, there's plenty of ways to keep the peace. Available now at your local Honda dealer.
Watch the Birds game in London at Sugar House Casino with Andrew Salchunas and Natalie Eganoff, where the Fanatic will be giving away a VIP experience that includes a chauffeured evening in a Rolls Royce, dinner for two, and tickets to a Sixers game. Thanks to Imagine Lifestyle's luxury car rental. Must be present to win. Go to 97.5fanatic.com for details.
Philadelphia's football station. 97.5, the Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, taking you up until midnight this evening. Sam Flesher is producing. 610-632-0975 is the phone number. And, of course, on Twitter, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic, the ways to interact with the show. Let's go back to the phones with Mike in Chalfont. Mike, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
You're one of the most subdued hosts out there, let me tell you.
Uh-oh, I hope that doesn't mean that I'm like a tranquilizer.
Nah, man, but you didn't know who J.H.I. is from London? Like,
well, I forgot. I forgot about it. And then it's more that if I had to answer it on a quiz, I would have gotten it right. I didn't even put together. I'm like, the Eagles are in London. J.H.I. is going to be bummed that he's not there. I'm like, oh, come on. That's terrible.
And J.H.I. gave Jason Kelce that song, like, No One Likes Us. Like,
yes, on, like, of course. That untrue song that No One Likes Us and We Don't Care.
And speaking of that,
it was so promising. Oh, man. That's the worst. Because I don't think that was a bad guy. I think he just realized that all of a sudden, oh, no. Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's all right. We got you. We actually can put the toothpaste back in the tube. We have that power. Yeah, so no, it's not that I didn't remember. It's just connections and words and, you know, stuff that I didn't put together. By the way, in all fairness, I want to make a disclosure here regarding the Eagles that I know that I've sounded kind of gloom and doom when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. It doesn't get... Look, I'm sorry. I look at it, I'm like, all right, Derek Barnett, who I thought was actually a bright spot on the team to date, goes on injured reserve with the shoulder surgery. They officially made the move and everything else. That's just one more, you know, brick in the saddlebag, as my father would say. It's not to say that anything that they do is impossible, right? Let me say this. The Eagles' Super Bowl run last year, despite them becoming clearly the best team in the NFL during the run-up to it, and even with Carson Wentz out, they were still the best team. That was one of the more improbable things I've ever seen in my entire life, watching sports. With all of the injuries that they had, with Darren Sproles, Jason Peters, Jordan Hicks, Chris Maragos, Caleb Sturgis, everybody forgets about Caleb Sturgis, Carson Wentz, all those guys, everybody that ended up getting injured makes such a huge difference. And yet, here we were just storming right along, absolutely having no issues whatsoever the whole way. This year, for whatever reason, the injuries are absolutely crushing the team. I mean, if you're Doug Peterson, you have to think that injuries are supposed to be, unless somebody's actually injury prone, but theory suggests that injuries would be random and maybe spread out over the course of like multiple teams, multiple players, multiple positions. Nope. Eagles just getting crushed at wide receiver, getting crushed at running back, getting crushed on the offensive line over and over and over again. And all of those issues pop up. And you're thinking, this is a team that's going to make it through again. So to see them struggling the way that they are is frustrating on a lot of levels because of that. By the way, addressing an earlier issue, Patrick Peterson came out and he made this statement talking about how he is a Cardinal. I don't know what that means. Like, people read that and said that, you know, Patrick Peterson is not going to be traded now, that he's totally pulled back his trade request. Let me share this with you so you can be the judge. Here's his statement. I've been incredibly frustrated with how the season has gone, but my energy is 100% focused on being part of the solution and helping us turn this around. I've never shied away from a challenge before, and I'm not starting now. I have always given my all to the Cardinals organization, my teammates, and fans. That is what I intend to do for the years to come. I am an Arizona Cardinal, and my focus is on this week's game. I know that it doesn't sound as inspirational to like sneak this in there, but Patrick, I couldn't help but notice, I didn't see anywhere in there where it's like, yeah, I'm content to be a Cardinal for life. I'm pulling back my trade request. He said, I intend to do this with the years and come, giving us all to the Cardinals organization, teammates, and fans. He intends to do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if he's traded, he's going to be crying crocodile tears on the way out of Arizona. So I don't know if that statement officially knocks out the idea that Patrick Peterson could be traded or not. I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, I get that the Cardinals might be having a fire sale, but I always thought that Peterson and Johnson, David Johnson, were the two players that didn't make any sense because of them being on long-term deals and things like that. But they are 1-5, and I've got to tell you the truth. I don't think that a statement like that, if the Eagles were investigating, I don't think a statement like that would slow them down one bit, just for the record. So if there's a trade that could be made, that one would help. But I think that Patrick Peterson would help out 10, 15, probably 20 teams in the NFL at the cornerback position at least. So I don't know if there's going to be a discount deal to be found, or to be found, rather, if indeed he is available. Let's go to Danny in Burlington next. What's happening, Danny?
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, you're a smart guy, so I wanted to run a couple things by you. Basically, don't you think a lot of the disappointment from this season stems from the fact that we made it so far last year without the players that we currently have, and we're still losing these really tight games? You see what I mean?
I do, 100%. So, Danny, I think that, let me ask you this. Is there any chance that we've been spoiled by the fact that the team was able to do that when it was so improbable, and we've seen teams get crushed by injuries in the past? The fact that the Eagles overcame that last year, that was so special that, like, we almost expect that to become the norm this year.
Yeah, and then when the coach comes out and tells you that, you kind of expect it.
Right.
I mean, but the fact that we got back our left tackle, we got back our middle linebacker, we got back our starting quarterback, and it's like, shouldn't we be better? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we lost like a bunch of talent. I mean, we lost a tight end, a backup tight end. We lost a backup cornerback.
Yeah.
And in a safety. And
a backup defensive lineman and LeGarrette Blount.
Right. Right. That's what I was going to bring up.
Blount, yeah.
Which I think personally may be the biggest loss, but that's for another day. Considering, you know, we're having a little bit of a short yardage game problem. But my whole point is, I think that's where, me personally, that's where my disappointment comes. But, you know, you get the people that say, you know, well, we won it last year, so who matters? And that's the first thing that pops into my head when they say that is, well, we're better. So if we won it last year with the players we had, then we should be even better this year. And that's what I try to tell people. And they just, you know, go right back to the whole, well, we won it last year and I'm happy. And I just...
So you're running into a lot of people, Danny, who are saying that because they won last year, they don't even, like, care what happens this year?
Well, I mean, I called up my uncle after the game that we lost. There's just been so many heartbreaking losses
of course,
in the last couple of weeks that I called him up and we got to talking, and he's a diehard, just like me. And he was just like, you know what, man, it's just an excuse to drink beer, and they won it last year. I was waiting 50 years. And I was like, I see what you're saying, but that same thought, we should be better. And then here's my second question for
you,
man.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious to what you think about this. Who do you think we could pick up, maybe a couple players, maybe a position that you think would greatly help turn this thing around possibly?
Sure. Danny, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Here's what I'll say. I think that I said it earlier in the show that I think that this year's version of the Eagles are probably beyond trade help that I would recommend, because I think it's so important to get reinforcements through the draft, to have those inexpensive contracts and things like that. However, a name that I've always been interested in since I learned that he became available is Demaryius Thomas. I think that that's a guy whose skill set and value will line up with what the Eagles can potentially do. And I think that the wide receiver is by far the most dire need that you could easily address through a trade or through free agency or something like that, even in the middle of the season. So that would be a guy that I would target. If there's another guy, I would have targeted Tevin Coleman before the Devontae Freeman injury. That's kind of moot now. But that's where I'd be sniffing around. I'd be looking at Jacksonville and seeing if TJ Yeldon could potentially be available now that they've made a trade for Carlos Hyde. I would be looking at those second-tier backs who can do some stuff that you would need them to do that you're not getting. You're not getting your running back needs met at this point. There's no doubt that I'm looking offense rather than defense. Defense has roughly been in line with where they're supposed to have been last year. Offense has fallen off dramatically. For whatever reason, whether it's coaching, whether it's players, whatever, if I am dedicating draft capital and trading stuff in order to shore something up, it's the offense. 610-632-0975. Great questions from Danny, and important questions as we move forward here in the Eagles season. Final segment is coming your way next. That means your phone calls. And one more thing as well, 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. NFL Week 8, and the Birds are at an alarming 3-4. After blowing a game at home, what can we expect from the Eagles in London versus the Jags? Join Jason Avant, Stephon Gibbons, and Bob Cooney starting early at 7 a.m. live from Sugar House for the Fanatic pregame show.
Listen for the Fanatic's Tim McManus checking in from Wembley Stadium.
After the game, it's Torty and Stasak. They'll be taking your calls and instant reaction on the Fanatic postgame show.
All the pre and postgame action is on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
This 15 minutes of fame is brought to you by Geico. Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Philly, let's be honest. We just don't recognize enough people for doing great work in their community, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, or even a stranger. Going that extra mile for those in need can be life-changing. Geico wants to thank you and celebrate your good deeds by honoring you with 15 minutes of fame. Just send an email to geico@bbgi.com to submit your nomination. That's geico@bbgi.com. Each month, Geico and 97.5 The Fanatic will choose one person and honor them on air.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today to see how much you could save.
Not
Natalie Eganoff here. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com want you to join them in the fight. With every new Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, or Ram sold, TurnersvilleJeep.com will make a donation to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Help Turnersville reach their goal of donating $5,000 this month. Also, if you show your support and wear pink, you'll receive an extra $200 off any vehicle in stock. Now, I was down there and met Ron Fina, the general manager, and he is truly committed to this great cause. If my TurnersvilleJeep.com tweet reaches 500 retweets, he'll donate an extra $500. Now's a great time to save during Jeep Adventure Days and Ram Power Days. So stop in today and see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. They have over 600 cars and trucks on the site to choose from. This is Natalie Eganoff for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com?
Rich Eisen here. The family's packed away in your new Honda Odyssey heading to Grandma's. Then your kids start fighting in the back. Thankfully, available Magic Slide seats let you easily separate them when they get out of hand. Through a camera, the available Cabin Watch lets you keep tabs on them from the driver's seat. Or if they're watching a movie on the available Advanced Rear Entertainment System, available Cabin Talk mutes it, letting you talk directly through their headphones. With the Honda Odyssey, there's plenty of ways to keep the peace. Available now at your local Honda dealer.
Hey, little man, I promise I'm gonna stop smoking because I don't want to miss a single moment of your life. I found a great place to help, Poppy's Vapor Lounge. Poppy's owner quit smoking when his grandpa introduced him to vaping. That's why he named his stores Poppy's, to honor his grandfather and help people quit smoking with the lowest prices and best selection on vaping supplies.
Poppy's Vapor Lounge in Marlton and Turnersville. Use promo code SIMPLE for 10% off at poppiesvapor.com.
This is Pat Callahan inviting you to join Joe Torti and me for season 17 of This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Joe and I will dig into the biggest NFL topics, preview the week's slate of games, and debate the gridiron issues that matter to you. Of course, each week we'll focus on the defending champs and check out the Birds matchup, including key injuries, personnel matchups, and keep tabs on the most watched quarterback non-rivalry ever. Sal Palantonio returns at 11 a.m. each week with his unique and insightful take on the champs and the Shield, including the weekly top five. Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com checks in every Saturday with most of your fantasy answers. It's me versus Joey Bags in the dreaded pick segment, and we will look back at past Eagle and NFL greats and ask, where are they now? So be sure to join Joe Torti and me for some old-school football talk every Saturday at 10 a.m. on your definitive source for all things Birds and NFL. It's This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome to the revolution. A global movement to transform the human body into a disease-fighting machine. Our immune systems fortified. Our immune cells retrained to hunt down and destroy deadly diseases. And today at Penn Medicine, we have dozens of new therapies in hundreds of clinical trials. All dedicated to the day when the body can shake Parkinson's, when Alzheimer's is a memory, when millions of people destroy cancer each year, instead of the other way around. This is no mere battle. This is not even medicine as we know it. This is a revolution. Long live the immuno revolution. Now rising at Penn Medicine. Learn more at immunorevolution.org.
The Missinelli Station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Taking you up until midnight. Two things. First things first, we're going to share something that has happened for the first time that I can remember, period. First things first, for all of you whose favorite thing after the Eagles blow a game is to call Joe Stazak and me on the postgame show and talk about how the officials blew the game for the Eagles, I have music to your ears. A man is out of work today because of you, okay? You happy? He's got to come home to his wife and his kids, if they exist. I don't want to presume anything about Hugo Cruz. I don't know. But are you happy now? The league has fired Hugo Cruz, who served as a down judge for performance reasons. on the field and was not meeting the standard over a sustained period of time. That's according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Referees Association plans to file a grievance on behalf of Cruz over his dismissal. It was first reported by FootballZebras.com. He's been with the league since 2015. He's been known in recent weeks as the official who missed a blatant false start. You remember it. In the second quarter of week six's game between the Chargers and the Browns, and that changed the game. The fact that that false start didn't get called changed the game. Russell Okung dropped back before the snap. Should have been flagged. Miles Garrett even pulled up. He was pointing to Okung. Play was not blown dead. And on that play, Tyrell Williams caught a 29-yard touchdown pass en route to a 38-14 win. It changed the game. It was a huge, huge thing. Rappaport reported that no single call led to Cruz's dismissal, and no other details were disclosed. The high-profile nature of the missed infraction might have been the final nail in the coffin, or at the very least, a contributing factor of Cruz not meeting, quote-unquote, the high standards of officiating. So there you go. There's one. One down. Eventually, it'll just be the robots throwing flags. I know that's what all of you want, but there you go. Also, before we get to one more thing, a fantasy hockey great. Okay? And I hear you rolling your eyes right now, okay?
Who plays fantasy hockey?
I do, okay? With media members in the area, like, it's a good way to, you know, keep in touch with everybody. I'm watching because I have Matt Murray, the Pittsburgh Penguins goalie, as my goaltender, and shutouts as a category. The audacity that you have to win a game 9-1 is so offensive to me. I can't even tell you. I needed the category. All right. I'm getting smoked. That could have been a swing category for me. And you give up a goal in the 9-1. What in the world? All right. Let's just move on. Let's move on to something happier because. Would you consider yourself, Sam Fletcher, to be a person, not a gullible person, but are you a trusting person, someone who could potentially be talked into something?
For sure.
Okay. Then don't head to Canada, or to Toronto in particular.
I've already been there, though.
Well, I'm just saying, be careful next time. Oh, Toronto psychic was charged with, quote, pretending to practice witchcraft after she allegedly convinced a man, not suggested, convinced a man that he needed to sell his home and transfer the money to her account in order to get rid of evil spirits. Psychic Ivana Lopez, real name. Come on. Thank you. Samantha Stevenson, Ivana Lopez. All right, Samantha, has been charged with pretending to practice witchcraft and fraud after taking more than $600,000 from a victim with the promise of removing evil spirits.
What? I think that's kind of on him.
Okay, my first reaction was 100% that. Okay, what? Here's the surprising part of this one more thing story. Apparently the criminal code has anti-witchcraft provisions. So instead of being like, this guy's an idiot, the only explanation is that this person's a witch. That's amazing. Pretending to practice. Why don't you just leave out pretending to practice witchcraft and just skip to fraud? Just skip to that. An actual thing. I actually have a problem with that penal code, to be honest with you. Because if, for example, I live in Toronto and my kids are playing whatever, Cowboys and Indians, bank robber, whatever kids play, where's the line where it's like, no, that is unacceptable. Put the Harry Potter wands away. You're going to jail. It's out of control. $600,000. Let me ask you this, Sam. How many evil spirits could you have that $600,000 worth is the exorcism fee?
There must be a lot going on in his life that was just really bad to warrant, you know, $600,000. That's a fair amount to get rid of those spirits.
This is amazing to me. Here are the charges. Pretending to practice witchcraft, fraud over $5,000, and possession of property obtained by crime. Let me ask you, does she have a defense being like, I wasn't pretending to practice witchcraft, I'm a witch? Does she have any legal recourse there? I need to know this. Canada is so fascinating.
Like, how does that get left in the bylaws? That's probably, like, you know, Salem, like, witch trial era type of law. And how does that get left in there?
Like, I don't mean to get all political, okay? So, please, just take this at face value for what it is. This is not an indictment of Canada or anything like that. But you've got a country that literally freedom of speech is not a thing. Like, that doesn't exist in Canada. Freedom of speech is not real. It's not a thing. But there's a bylaw against pretending to practice witch. This has warmed the inner portions of my heart so much. Every part of this story is just delicious. I'm dying to know what happened to the money that she got. Does she have to give it back? Or does Canada just be like, no, you're stupid. You're not getting this back. This is going into our coffers for the policeman's retirement fund or something like that.
They just legalized marijuana in Canada, but don't you dare pretend to practice witchcraft.
Jeez. Okay. This can't be real. York Regional Police has received reports in the past about different types of evil spirit scams. This scam often involves a group of suspects who approach victims on the street. They warn the victim that they're surrounded by evil spirits and that a family member will die very soon if the spirits are not removed. Oh my gosh. This is insane. I can't believe that there's a number to contact here, but I can assure you that if anyone approaches me in Philadelphia regarding witchcraft or needing to bless my valuables or anything like that, I will absolutely call the Toronto police and see what they want to do about it. Thank you very much to Sam Flesher for producing this evening's program. That's going to wrap things up for me. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host really enjoyed sharing the evening with you. This is Joe Torti saying so long. I will talk to you next time right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.